The North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The view, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
Go in and meet the friendly staff today or go to their website at riverviewgolf.net and find out about their introductory memberships.
Riverview Golf and Country Club, corporate, social, tennis, fitness, and golf. Get it all. Become a member.
It's affordable and fun. Riverview Golf and Country Club.
You can learn safety and elder abuse prevention strategies with another free event presented by Shining Care. The Senior Safety It Takes a Community Symposium is coming June 17th, 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. in the Wind River Resort Event Room. Lunch will be provided during a live simulcast featuring world-renowned keynote speaker Paul Greenwood sharing his expertise and tips to prevent elder abuse in our community. There'll be a Q&A session plus many resource exhibits all during the Senior Safety It Takes a Community Symposium June 17th in the Wind River Resort Event Room. See more at ShiningCare.org.
Hey, and welcome. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. Today's show is sponsored by ExpressVPN. Thousands of my listeners have already secured their internet. Join them at expressvpn.com/Ben. Alrighty, so it was a week in which there were many days ending in Y. And because it was a week in which there are many days ending in Y, one of those days undoubtedly would feature Ilhan Omar saying something anti-Semitic and or anti-American, because that's what Ilhan Omar does for a living. The representative from Minnesota is very often anti-American in her rhetoric. She is frequently anti-Semitic in her rhetoric, and she receives essentially zero blowback from the Democratic leadership. Well, things got awkward this week because a few of the Jewish Democrats in the House decided that they wanted to put out some mild criticism of Ilhan Omar after she tweeted out the following. Here's what she tweeted, quote, "We must have the same level of accountability and justice for all victims of crimes against humanity. We have seen unthinkable atrocities committed by the U.S., Hamas, Israel, Afghanistan, and the Taliban. I asked Secretary Tony Blinken where people are supposed to go for justice." So this is her in a tweet equating the United States, Hamas, you know, like a terrorist group that hides rockets behind children and that hides tunnels underneath hospitals and under schools, and Israel, and the Taliban, you know, one of the most evil groups on the planet, a group of people who literally try to murder young schoolgirls if they go to school. And so that is Ilhan Omar doing yeoman's work on behalf of terrorist rhetoric everywhere. And this is what she does. I mean, she's been doing this her entire career. She's been doing this since she entered politics. And this is a woman who once wrote a letter to a judge recommending less harsh jail time for a person trying to join ISIS, because obviously American society was so terrible and horrible that it drove people towards these sorts of activities. I mean, Ilhan Omar is a disaster area. She's been a disaster area for a very long time. And yet every time she says one of these things, and she's said it over and over, right, the Jews are hypnotizing the world, or that it's all about the Benjamins, or that Israel and Hamas are exactly the same, or even worse, that Israel is actually perpetuating terrorism. You know, when Ilhan Omar does this sort of stuff, the usual Democratic response is to simply whistle and walk away. Now, there's been a growing anti-Semitism problem inside the Democratic Party for quite a while now. And this is perfectly obvious from the fact that half the CBC, half the Congressional Black Caucus, has met with Louis Farrakhan. And it's perfectly obvious from the fact that AOC met with radical anti-Semite Jeremy Corbyn and then tweeted it out. And then when she was caught, she said, oh, yeah, I'll have a listening session with members of the Jewish community. Never happened. Right? Rashida Tlaib openly associates with people who are complete abolitionists about the state of Israel, would like to see Israel wiped from the map. In fact, on a map in her office when she originally took office, she had a post-it on the map that where Israel was, the post-it said Palestine and pointed an arrow directly at Israel, which is a genocidal point of view with regard to the state of Israel. Rashida Tlaib didn't like the Jews very much. Ilhan Omar, same sort of deal. Okay, and every time this sort of stuff comes up, the Democratic Party edges right up to criticizing, and then they realize, oh, wait a second, these women, they're Muslim, and they seem brown. And that means that if we criticize them, then we have violated our own intersectional protocols. Now, this blew up into sort of ugly view for the Democrats yesterday because a bunch of House Democrats, all Jewish, put out a statement quasi-condemning Ilhan Omar. And just kind of quasi, edging up to it. Always they edge up to it. Now, recognize something. On the right side of the aisle, when Marjorie Taylor Greene was talking about Jewish space lasers, every major Republican came out and said this is crazy and unacceptable. Okay, when Steve King said stuff that was racist, okay, the entire Republican Party stripped him of his committees and then primaried him. Inside the Democratic Party, you can hobnob with Louis Farrakhan, you can hang out with terror supporters like Razmiya Odeh, You can hang out with Linda Sarsour and do campaigning with her. You can hang out with Jeremy Corbyn. You can say openly anti-Semitic crap. And the best they're going to do is maybe they will mildly criticize. Now, one of the things that's really disturbing about this particular criticism is that it came only from the Jewish members of Congress who are Democrats. Right? And it was only 12 of them. There are 25 Jewish Democrats in Congress. Only 12 of them signed this joint statement. And it is really, really weak tea. But the fact that only Jews were willing to sign on to the statement demonstrates that anti-Semitism is treated unlike any other form of vicious hatred inside the halls of Democratic power. If somebody in the Democratic Party had said something racist about Ilhan Omar, about her race, do you imagine that it would only be black members of Congress who would say something? Or it would be every member of the Democratic caucus that said something? But Ilhan Omar, every couple of weeks, she has to set that, just to set that calendar, days since anti-Semitic accident, back to zero. Every couple of weeks. And only Jews signed the statement. There wasn't a single major Democrat or minor Democrat, as far as I'm aware, who is not Jewish, who even expressed sympathy for this statement, which is kind of incredible. Basically, they're saying if you're a Jewish Democrat, you are on your own because anti-Semitism is not part of the intersectional coalition. Jews are not part of the intersectional coalition. And this has been true in progressive circles for quite a while. You'll remember that just a few years back, there was something called the Chicago Dyke March, right, which was an LGBT march in Chicago, and they banned people from flying a flag with the Star of David on it because Jews are not part of the intersectional coalition. BLM has openly endorsed the terrorist activities of Hamas in the Gaza Strip. I know that we're supposed to pretend that they were just supporting, quote-unquote, the Palestinians, but they weren't. Okay, they have openly acknowledged that they wish to see Israel disappear. BLM, I mean, this was in their original manifesto. They talk about liberating Palestine, which really does mean getting rid of Israel from the river to the sea. And when they say they support the quote-unquote Palestinians in the middle of a Hamas-Gaza versus Israel rocket war, it's pretty obvious what they are talking about. They're really not trying to hide the ball very hard here. Plus, if you go to any of these BLM rallies, they'll actually have, like, full anti-Semitic signs up there. So the intersectional coalition does not welcome Jews. And so the Jews in the Democratic Party are on their own right here. So here was the statement they put out about Ilhan Omar equating Israel and Hamas, which, by the way, again, is only part of what she said. She also equated the United States and the Taliban, which is, again, typical Ilhan Omar. She's consistently suggesting the United States is a massive human rights violator akin to terrorist groups, because this is what she does. And then, of course, she laughs about 9/11 on occasion. She's really a wonder and a joy. Amazing that we have such great congresspeople in the United States. She tweeted out, equating the United States and Israel to Hamas and the Taliban is as offensive as it is misguided. This is what the Jewish Democrats put out. Ignoring the differences between democracies governed by the rule of law and contemptible organizations that engage in terrorism at best discredits one's intended argument, and at worst reflects deep-seated prejudice. The United States and Israel are imperfect, and like all democracies at times deserving of critique, but false equivalencies give cover to terrorist groups. We urge Congresswoman Omar to clarify her words, placing the U.S. and Israel in the same category as Hamas and the Taliban. Clarify. Right? So they didn't condemn her. They didn't just say, this is gross. They could have ended this before the last sentence, right? They didn't. Instead, they said, we'll give you a way out. Just clarify. And we will pretend you didn't mean what you very obviously meant since you said it over and over and over. All you have to do is clarify just a little bit. So here is how Ilhan Omar originally clarified. She originally clarified by accusing the Democrats in her own party of Islamophobia. Because this is what she is, right? She is a person who is viciously anti-Semitic. And if you criticize her, then she claims that you are anti-Muslim in some way. No, I'm just against people who aren't anti-Semitic, actually, as it turns out. There are many Muslims who are not. Ilhan Omar is not one of them. There are many Muslims who are very pro-America. Ilhan Omar, in her rhetoric, certainly is not. And we're allowed to criticize Ilhan Omar without it being, quote-unquote, Islamophobic. But this is you want to know why, in the wake of all of these acts of Jew hatred that we saw on the streets of New York and Miami and Los Angeles and Chicago in the last few weeks, in the wake of that, all the Democrats were tweeting out about Islamophobia? Because what Ilhan Omar and Rashida Tlaib and company and the intersectional coalition have succeeded in doing is they have succeeded in suggesting that if you call out anti-Semitism, this is an act of Islamophobia, which, by the way, is slanderous towards Muslims, because it turns out that Muslims don't actually have to be anti-Semitic. If the claim is that you calling out anti-Semitism is inherently Islamophobic, what you are actually saying is that Islam is anti-Semitic, which, again, there are many, many, many millions of Muslims who are not anti-Semitic. In any case, here's Ilhan Omar. She tweeted out, right, this is her clarification, her original clarification. She tweeted out, it's shameful for colleagues who call me when they need my support to now put out a statement asking for clarification and not just call. The Islamophobic tropes in this statement are offensive. Where are the Islamophobic tropes? Seriously, where? What, can she name them? Notice the game she's playing right here. So The anti-Semitic tropes he has used in the past include that the Jews hypnotize the world and that Jewish money controls American Congress. And those are actual anti-Semitic tropes. There's not a single Islamophobic trope in that entire statement, but she's accusing her colleagues of Islamophobia. The constant harassment and silencing from the signers of this letter is unbearable. Unbearable. Oh, oh, the tears. It's like LeBron James flopping politically. Like, oh my God. Oh, I can't. Oh, I can't believe it. The constant harassment. Oh, it's so difficult to be Ilhan Omar. It's so difficult to be elected to Congress, being an immigrant to the United States, and being on the cover of Rolling Stone, and being featured on the Foreign Affairs Committee, despite being openly anti-Jewish. Wow, I mean, what a rough world she has. By the way, this lie that her colleagues never go to her quietly, it is just that. It is a lie. Okay, the fact is, members of the Jewish Minneapolis community went to her quietly. They went behind closed doors, and then she betrayed them by talking about how terrible they were, basically, publicly. Rashida Tlaib has done the same thing, so has AOC. Amazing to watch Democrats like Ilhan Omar, who has not been shy about ripping into other Democrats, suggest that it's the responsibility of other Democrats to come to her and clarify with her quietly about all this. Just such a lie. They don't do any of that. Okay, so what has been the response from the higher-ups in the Democratic Party? Because this looked like it was coming to a head. Right? It looked as though, finally, it was going to be the Jewish Democrats versus Ilhan Omar and the rest of the squad. Because you had people like Rashida Tlaib tweeting in defense of Ilhan Omar, right? Rashida Tlaib tweeted this out. This is such unbelievable gaslighting. Quote, "Freedom of speech doesn't exist for Muslim women in Congress," she said on Twitter to her millions of followers, as printed in every major newspaper. "Freedom of speech doesn't exist for Muslim women in Congress? Really? Really? You want to know where freedom of speech doesn't exist for Muslim women? Pretty much everywhere in the Islamic world. That's where freedom of speech doesn't exist for Muslim women. Women, like, doesn't exist. The statement is so self-contradictory, it's unbelievable. Doesn't exist for Muslim women in Congress. I think we've established that Muslim women have freedom of speech in the United States. They're in Congress, the legislature. What in the actual... But you're silencing Rashida Tlaib. How dare you silence Rashida? She doesn't sound so silent, but, you know, maybe that's just me because I'm actually reading her words. Freedom of speech doesn't exist for Muslim women in Congress. The benefit of the doubt doesn't exist for Muslim women in Congress. There's no benefit of the doubt. She literally equated the United States and the Taliban and Israel and Hamas. And she does this over and over and over. You don't get the benefit of the doubt the ninth time. You get the benefit of the doubt like the first time. Maybe the second time. By the time you're getting to like 6, 7, 8, 9 anti-Semitic statements, people start to go, hey, maybe we shouldn't give this person the benefit of the doubt. Weird, you know. I gave you the benefit of the doubt the first time my wallet disappeared at your house, but like the eighth time my wallet disappeared at your house, I had to start thinking to myself, hey, maybe there's something going on at this person's apartment. Says Rashida Tlaib, House Democratic leadership should be ashamed of its relentless exclusive tone policing of Congresswomen of color. Notice that the turnabout is fair play here. Right, how dare Nancy Pelosi, how dare anybody criticize Muslim women of color? You can't do that. You can't do that. Relentless tone. Again, these are the same people are claiming that that Jewish Democratic statement, which was like the mildest thing I've ever seen, that is tone policing, that they're censoring them. Okay, so finally, you have people like AOC did the same thing, by the way. Here's AOC's response. Pretty sick and tired of the constant vilification, like intentional mischaracterization and public targeting of Ilhan Omar coming from our caucus. They have no concept for the danger they put her in by like skipping private conversations and leaping to fueling targeted news cycles around her. This is coming from the same lady who every day goes out and rips on Joe Manchin and basically suggests he's a racist. But I love this, that Ilhan Omar, oh man, they're constantly vilifying. Oh, she's such a victim, Ilhan Omar. So's AOC. They're such victims. The cry-bullying is beyond compare. I mean, truly crazy. AOC on the cover of Rolling Stone with Ilhan Omar and Nancy Pelosi. Oh my God, people are just targeting her. Oh, the vilification. Oh, woe is me. America's a terrible place. People notice that Ilhan Omar hates Jews, and then they said it. They noticed that she equated the United States and the Taliban, and then they pointed that out. Oh, the viciousness. Oh, the cruelty. But here's the bottom line. This is Ilhan Omar's party, and she can cry if she wants to. We'll get to that in just 1 second. First, the reality is that when I am away from home, I just don't sleep as well. Why? Well, I don't have my personalized mattress. I need my Helix Sleep mattress. Helix Sleep built a quiz. It takes 2 minutes to complete. They use the answers to match your body type and sleep preferences to the perfect mattress for you. If you like a mattress that's really soft or firm, if you sleep on your side, your back, your stomach, if you sleep really hot with Helix, there's a specific mattress for each and everybody's unique taste, like me. Just go to helixsleep.com/Shapiro. They will match you to a mattress that will give you the best sleep of your life. I, for example, I like my mattress firm. I like it cool. Well, Helix made that mattress for me, and it is just great. Everything is made right here in America. They've got a 10-year warranty. You get to try it out for 100 nights risk-free, so you got nothing to lose. Because if you try Helix and don't like it, they'll pick it right up for you, no problem. Right now, Helix is offering up to $200 off all mattress orders. Get up to $200 off at helixsleep.com/Shapiro. When I say that this is a great deal, I really mean it because, again, I sleep on a Helix mattress, but others have already testified to how great Helix is. It was rated the best mattress of 2019 by both GQ and Wired magazine. Head on over to helixsleep.com/Shapiro right now and get up to $200 off your mattress order. Alrighty, coming up, Ilhan Omar finally issued a clarification. It wasn't really a clarification, it was a walk back, but it allowed the Democrats to pretend along with her. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Hi, I'm Albert Pujols, first baseman for the Los Angeles Angels.
And I'm Deidre Pujols. We need your help to strike out slavery. Today, millions of people are caught in this nightmare of violence, fraud, and coercion. Human trafficking is happening in our communities and around the world, and we need to act right now.
So we are sending out this SOS, a call for your help in the fight for freedom.
Please join us by visiting strikeoutslavery.com.
Furnished by the Entertainment Industry Foundation.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, U.S. Tax Shield can help you take back control. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Our team of tax attorneys can stop collections and get you protected. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the BBB, so call 800-466-9625. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-466-9625.
Since COVID, people are home with their pets more often, and I think now, especially with the shedding, they're more cognizant of what's going on and that it's an actual issue, and Dynavite has helped tremendously in our house with that.
I just heard the Dynavite commercial so many times, so I said, you know what, I'll give it a shot, and I ordered it and tried it, and it worked.
The Dynavite, the being at home, working with them, they all love it.
Me and Chewy are together 24/7.
Within 3 weeks, he's not scratching and itching, and he's an all-around happier dog.
DINOVITE.com.
America's kids are returning to class, in school and at home. And this year, learning is especially tough for kids who already struggle with poverty, emotional trauma, and other barriers. But Communities in Schools is helping by putting caring adults in schools to connect with kids. And now, we're reaching beyond school walls, tutoring, mentoring, and counseling students, providing resources for at-home learning, doing whatever it takes to make sure all kids have the opportunity to learn and succeed. For more information, visit communitiesinschools.org.
Paid for by Bar Justice. Attention. Have you or a loved one been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months? Zantac may be linked to these cancers. Bladder, colorectal, esophageal, intestinal, kidney, liver, ovarian, pancreatic, stomach, testicular, and uterine. If you or a loved one have been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months, call now. Never stop taking medication without first consulting a physician. Call right now for a free consultation. Call 800-379-9550. 800-379-9550.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So finally, Ilhan Omar issued a clarification. She released the following clarification on her questions during the House Foreign Affairs Committee this week. Quote, on Monday, I asked Secretary of State Antony Blinken about an ongoing International Criminal Court investigations. Okay, not good grammar. To be clear, the conversation was about accountability for specific incidents regarding these ICC cases, not a moral comparison between Hamas and the Taliban and the U.S. and Israel. I was in no way equating terrorist organizations with democratic countries with well-established judicial systems. Well, number one, thanks to Ilhan Omar for acknowledging that Israel is a democratic country with a well-established judicial system. That's a first for Ilhan Omar. But also, can we go back to her original tweet? Because according to her, she's not making a comparison. Quote, we have seen unthinkable atrocities committed by the U.S., Hamas, Israel, Afghanistan, and the Taliban. I kind of think you were making the comparison. I kind of think you were, because you do it all the damn time. Okay, so she issues her clarification. And now the Democratic Party has its way out. Now they can all pretend that she didn't mean what she very clearly meant. Right now they can all go back. Everything, weapons down. Everything is fine. So John Garamendi, Democratic representative. I don't think that Ilhan Omar intended to compare the United States and Israel to Hamas and the Taliban, even though she does it like all the damn time. No, Ilhan, come on.
I think she needs to be much more careful. I don't think she ever intended to lump the United States and Israel into the same terrorism that was being conducted by those other terrorist organizations. She ought to walk it back. She ought to be very, very careful here. The problem is that this kind of language incites violence here in the United States.
Okay, but she didn't mean it, guys. Probably she didn't mean it. Now, do you think that benefit of the doubt would accrue to any other members of Congress other than Rashida Tlaib and Ilhan Omar? Truly. Do you think that? Nope. So here is Nancy Pelosi's statement. So here's an amazing thing. There was a several-hour period here where Ilhan Omar had not, quote-unquote, walked anything back or clarified. Right? There was a several-hour period yesterday when these Jewish Democrats had put out a statement, and Ilhan Omar and her crew were busily tweeting about how vicious and terrible these Jewish Democrats were. Not a single member of the media hunted down a single Democrat in the House and asked, who do you side with here? Who do you think is right? Not a single one. Not a single one went to Nancy Pelosi and said, do you have any response to these Jewish Democrats claiming that Ilhan Omar is engaged in basically anti-Semitism? It's amazing. So, if Marjorie Taylor Greene, before she enters Congress, puts out a weird Facebook post about Jewish space lasers or whatever. And by the way, even if I did control a Jewish space laser, I wouldn't tell you guys. But when they went to every single Republican in Congress and asked about Marjorie Taylor Greene. She's a backbencher. Ilhan Omar's on the Foreign Affairs Committee. Ilhan Omar's appearing on the cover of magazines with the Democratic House leadership. Okay, not a single question I am aware of to any member of Congress about this sort of stuff until after Ilhan Omar had already performed her walkback. It's certainly no questions to the members of the House leadership. Right? The media just fell asleep at the switch, or they don't really care. And the answer is they don't really care because they are too invested in the same intersectional politics that the Democrats are invested in, which means the radicals rule the roost here. There are two ways radicals take over the Democratic Party. One is they get elected to Congress. That's happening sometimes, but not all the time. The second is the rest of the party simply caves to the radicals because the radicals are loud and annoying and irritating. And that is definitely happening. So here was a statement from Speaker Nancy Pelosi, Majority Leader Hoyer, Majority Whip Clyburn, Assistant Speaker Catherine Clark, Caucus Chairman Hakeem Jeffries, Caucus Vice Chair Pete Aguilar. Quote, legitimate criticism of the policies of both the United States and Israel is protected by the values of free speech and democratic debate. And indeed, such criticism is essential to the strength and health of our democracies. But drawing false equivalencies between democracies like the U.S. and Israel and groups that engage in terrorism like Hamas and the Taliban foments prejudice and undermines progress toward a future of peace and security for all. We welcome the clarification by Congresswoman Omar. There is no moral equivalency between the U.S. and Israel and Hamas and the Taliban. Oh, well, you welcomed it, did you? Wow. Yeah, I mean, amazing. So you called for Jewish Democrats called for a clarification. She clarified by basically saying, you know that thing I said? You just misinterpreted it. I definitely didn't mean that thing that I very obviously said. And Pelosi's like, incredible. So she'll just continue getting away with this sort of stuff. And we'll play this game every couple of months. And the Democratic Party will continue to engage with the growing anti-Semitism in its own ranks and pretend that it doesn't exist. The New York Times obviously is going to foment this stuff. Here's how the New York Times reported this. You ready? Because the New York Times, as Seth Mandel points out, he's over at the Washington Examiner. He says, the New York Times is not a newspaper. Correct. Here's how the New York Times covered this. You ready? Republicans, eager to stoke outrage and portray Democrats as anti-Israel, jump on Ms. Omar's language, especially after anti-Semitic comments by one of their own members, Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene of Georgia, whose recent comparisons of the Holocaust to pandemic safety policies drew condemnation from her own leaders. Wait, what the F? What does this have to do exactly with Republicans? It's always Republicans pounds. Ilhan Omar, anti-Semite. Rashida Tlaib, anti-Semite. Democratic caucus mildly condemns them and then backs away. And the story is Republicans pounds. Also, how exactly is that an owning of the Republicans? I'm confused. So according to the New York Times, the bad guys here are somehow the Republicans who condemned anti-Semitism in their own ranks and also condemn it among Democrats. Meanwhile, the Democrats who refuse to condemn anti-Semitism in their own ranks, they're totally fine. That is a hot take right there. Alrighty, coming up, Bidenomics is a failure. We have new evidence to show you. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
KCNR, 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at am1460.com. Don't miss Free Fire Radio weekday mornings from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. with Carl and Linda Bott. From 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, the conscience of the nation. From noon to 3, find your financial peace with Dave Ramsey. From 3 to 6, don't miss constitutional expert Mark Levin. Monday through Thursday night, starting at 6 p.m., we have local shows featuring everything from the paranormal to riding routes, pop culture, and unsung heroes in the North State. From 7 to 10, tune into Ben Shapiro with an expanded program that brings the issues of the day to your radio. KCNR also has an incredible weekend lineup, including The Flatline, Jefferson State of Mind, Sovereign Minds, and We the People on KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at KCNR1460.com.
Did the Redding summer heat put a toll on your vehicle? Is your paint faded, peeling, or even scratched up? It'll get worse faster than you think. You may think it's way too expensive to have painted. Well, think again. You can bring it to Maaco here in Reading and get a professional paint job and save big with their $4.99 special. Maaco also has interest-free loans for up to a year OAC. Maaco, America's Body Shop, 3045 Crossroads Drive. Uh-oh. Better call Maaco. 226-0992. Have you been involved in a minor accident and find it's not big enough to go through your insurance company? Bring it to Maaco and get it fixed at a fraction of the cost. Remember, it's your choice where you go to have your vehicle repaired. Call Maaco for uncompromised quality, quick turnaround times, and all work backed by the National Maaco Warranty. Maaco, America's Body Shop. Stop in at 3045 Crossroads Drive or call 226-0992. Uh-oh. Better call Maaco, 226-0992.
Shining Care invites you to walk for elder abuse prevention this Saturday evening at the Sundial Bridge. Your entry fee allows you to walk anytime between 6 and 8:30 p.m. on the Turtle Bay Loop of your choice. You'll get a free purple t-shirt to wear at the event and a free treasure hunt ticket for a chance to win the treasure chest full of cash and prizes. Join in the walk for elder abuse prevention with proceeds funding free Shining Care services and programs in our community. For more info and to register, visit shiningcare.org or call 232-5543.
It's a bright new day. The sun is shining, the birds are singing, and there's never been a better day to try Mount Shasta spring water. Hi, I'm Bob the Drop. I come from a protected spring at the base of Mount Shasta. I'm bottled at the source. It doesn't get more cool and refreshing than that, and it's delivered right to your door. Yep, pure and simple, naturally the best. Start your bright new day by calling 1-800-922-6227 to order some of the best tasting water on the planet, Mount Shasta spring water.
Shining Care invites you to walk for elder abuse prevention this Saturday evening at the Sundial Bridge. Your entry fee allows you to walk anytime between 6 and 8:30 p.m. on the Turtle Bay Loop of your choice. You'll get a free purple t-shirt to wear at the event and a free treasure hunt ticket for a chance to win the treasure chest full of cash and prizes. Join in the walk for elder abuse prevention with proceeds funding free Shining Care services and programs in our community. For more info and to register, visit shiningcare.org or call 232-5543.
I'm celebrating local heroes. Tune in the second Thursday each month at 6.05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now. I'm Michelle Slade. During North State Now, we will speak with your neighbors, friends, family, and community members who give back, not to be recognized, but because it's the right thing to do. During these conversations, we will learn what truly makes our community and the people in it. Join me the second Thursday of each month at 6.05 p.m., right after the news, for Heroes of the North State on North State Now.
Aloha, this is Kevin, Operations Manager at Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. A professionally cleaned business sends a message to your paying customers. It says you are a company that cares about your image and always presenting the very best impression. Time after time, I've talked to clients who shopped for the lowest price and after a few months realized that their professional image was suffering. They didn't know who was actually coming into their offices to do the cleaning, and they just weren't getting the value they were paying for. Be wary of big-name companies that take your money, then hire unknown contractors to do the work. Since 1987, Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, your local professionals, have been offering the best in office cleaning by our screened, bonded, and insured staff. Take pride in your business and say aloha to your customers with the professional cleaning services from Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. Call 221-5868, 221-5868, MauiBob'sOfficeCleaning.com.
By the Entertainment Industry Foundation.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So, Bidenomics, giant fail. CBS News reported yesterday that inflation has now reached a 13-year high.
Prices are rising as the U.S. economy recovers from the pandemic downturn. The inflation rate soared to a 13-year high in May, pushing the cost of living 5% higher than this time last year. Labor Department data shows the consumer price index rose 0.6% from April, exceeding expectations. Record high prices for used cars were the largest contributor to the inflation surge, with prices climbing more than 7%. The nation's inflation watchdog, the Federal Reserve, is dismissing concerns over rising prices, saying it's only temporary.
Okay, well, it may only be temporary, but the question is, how long does temporary remain temporary? So there are two problems with regards to the Bidenomics policy. One is the short-term inflation. The Fed keeps saying that inflation is going to go down at some point here. Now, the experts were saying earlier this year that the inflation rate for the entire year of 2021 was going to be like 2.6%. We're already at like 4%. So, unless things dramatically decrease in the remaining half of the year, we've got a problem on our hands, right? It's very easy to fall into an inflationary cycle so long as you keep pumping money into the economy, so long as Congress keeps passing unemployment benefits, so long as Congress keeps pushing forward these $2 trillion infrastructure packages, keep pouring money into an economy while encouraging people never to go back to work. The definition of inflation is too many dollars chasing too little product. You end up with price inflation, and this means that your dollar doesn't go as far. It means that people are unlikely to invest as much in American debt, which again drives the Fed to start purchasing some more of the debt to inject more money into the economy. All of this is really bad. So that is problem number one. Problem number two is that the general view of the Bidenomics crew is that the more money you suck out of the private sector and redistribute in these ways, the better it is. The problem with this, of course, is that it leads to economic stagnation, because it turns out the people who are most likely to invest and people who are most likely to put their money in R&D to develop new products and services are the people whose money you are taking away from them. Right? The truth is, every check that you have ever gotten as an employee is coming from somebody who is richer than you. Right? That is just a general good rule of thumb. And that will always continue to be true because you generally don't have people who are poor engaging or employing people who are richer. People who are richer, because they have more capital, they tend to then expend that capital to take risks and build businesses, right? Entrepreneurship drives the economy forward. The reason that the economy now is more robust than the economy 50 years ago, and it is because of all the new products and services. Human nature hasn't changed. What has changed is the cool stuff that you can get for a buck that you could not get for a buck 50 years ago. The truth is, the middle income person in the United States today is living better than the richest person on earth was probably in 1900. I mean, undoubtedly in 1900. They didn't have working toilets in many places in the world in 1900. There were no cell phones, there were no cars, right? Devices have gotten better. Things have gotten better. The reason things have gotten better is because people took their money and they invested it in brand new products and services that you enjoy. The entire Bidenomics model is designed to take money away from those people and then redistribute it as geniuses like Joe Biden think is fit. We need to have Ronald Klain deciding where dollars go. All these people who have never created a product, have never created a service, have never employed a person with their own money, all of these people are saying they know what to do with the money better than the people who've actually, you know, hired hundreds of millions of people, which is kind of an incredible statement. And what are they doing? What are the experts doing right now? Well, they're busy blowing out the inflation rates. The same people who are inflating the currency are the people who say that we should give them more money and they should borrow more money in order to presumably remake the economy, quote unquote, better. Now, right now, there are 9 million open jobs in the United States. 9 million. There are only 3.5 million jobs gained during the last few months. What does that mean? It means people are staying home. They are not reentering the workforce. Biden and team, they keep suggesting the reason for this is people are wary of COVID. Well, if they are, that's because you guys suck at PR. Okay, the reality is that everyone has had a chance to get the vaccine now. And in most states, the vast majority of the elderly have already had the vaccine, which means once you've had a chance to get the vaccine, whether you get it, whether you don't get it, that one's on you. Okay, so it is not COVID hesitancy that is driving down employment rates. I was talking to a construction guy here yesterday in Florida, and he was telling me he literally cannot find laborers. People do not want to come to work. Simultaneously, he's telling me that the price on all goods has gone up tremendously. He can't get lumber. He's had to do roofing in different ways. He can't use foam for roofing because the materials are just not available. Because again, production is not ramping up to meet the price inflation that is occurring. According to the Washington Post, Prices rose by 5% in May compared with a year ago, the largest increase since the Great Recession, continuing a steady climb in inflation, even as policymakers insist on staying the course. Price spikes often coincide with downturns. Officials from the White House and Federal Reserve have predicted that prices will climb over the coming months, especially compared with a year ago, when the economy was reeling from COVID pandemic shutdowns. However, the move adds new fuel to criticism from Republicans and at least one prominent liberal economist that too much government spending could wreak havoc and lead to an overheated economy. According to the Washington Post, it could take months before it's clear whether the current rise in inflation is temporary. But the steady climb is already weighing on numerous policy debates. Republicans push back hard on President Biden's proposal to spend $4 trillion on infrastructure and other proposals, complaining it amounted to an infusion of too much money at a time when prices on certain products were rising faster than wages. On certain products, on most products. GOP opposition has led the White House to rethink its spending strategy in recent weeks. The most recent inflation figures do not seem to have forced any course correction decisions inside the Biden administration or at the Fed. Both predict prices will continue to rise until supply chains and consumer demand recalibrate and the economy recovers. The Fed says it's not going to rush to raise interest rates. So what is this resulting in? It's resulting in businesses taking out cheap debt and then using it on hard assets. If you don't like businesses doing that, perhaps you should be protesting, you know, the governmental actors who are actually answerable to us. Right? As we'll see, people instead have this sort of simplistic view of economics in which you rip on corporations for doing exactly what corporations do. But the reality is you need to change the incentive structures if you wish for the corporations to change their order of business. Well, all of this bad spending policy is leading to some pretty dire economic warnings from Deutsche Bank. According to The Hill, as the world economy awakens from the 15-month slumber caused by the pandemic, Deutsche Bank has launched a series of research articles to spark debate and discussion about pressing post-pandemic economic issues on June 7th. Deutsche Bank issued its first report of the new series titled Inflation, the defining macro story of this decade. According to the report, quote, U.S. macro policy, macroeconomic policy, and indeed the very role of the government in the economy is undergoing its biggest shift in direction in 40 years. In turn, we are concerned it will bring about uncomfortable levels of inflation. Based on the latest inflation report from the United States, the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics points out that in April, the consumer price index for all urban consumers rose 0.8% on a seasonally adjusted basis, rising 4.2% over the last 12 months. Deutsche Bank notes the current fiscal stimulus is more comparable with that seen around World War II. Then U.S. deficits remained between 15 to 30% for 4 years. While there are many significant differences between the pandemic and World War II, we would note that annual inflation during that period was 8.4%, 14.6%, and 7.7% in 46, 47, and 48, after the economy normalized and pent-up demand was released. Apparently, there are a couple of big problems according to Deutsche Bank. One is the giant spending by Congress. They say monetary stimulus has been equally breathtaking. In numerical terms, the Fed's balance sheet has almost doubled during the pandemic to nearly $8 trillion. During the 2008 crisis, it only increased a little more than $1 trillion and then another $2 trillion in the subsequent 6 years. So basically, this is just the Federal Reserve creating fake money and then buying up bonds to inject it into the capital markets. The Deutsche Bank report says we worry inflation will make a comeback. Few still remember how our societies and economies were threatened by high inflation 50 years ago. The most basic law of economics, the ones that have stood the test of time over the millennium, have not been suspended. An explosive growth in debt financed largely by central banks is likely to lead to higher inflation. Raising prices will touch everyone. The effects could be devastating, particularly for the most vulnerable in society. And so that's Deutsche Bank warning about what is happening right now. And indeed, the United States is setting records for taxes, spending, and deficits through May. According to CNS News, federal taxes hit a record $2.6 trillion. Federal spending climbed to $4.6 trillion as October through May, resulting in a federal deficit of $2 trillion. That's just October through May, okay, which is just an astonishing increase in the federal deficit over the course of essentially half a year. That is wild stuff. Okay, now, the predictable result of all of this is not just inflation. It's also, as I say, economic stagnation, because when you remove money from the private sector and when you blow out the debt, and thus blow out the value of savings, what you end up doing is making it more difficult for businesses to do anything. Because, again, there are two problems. One is the inflation problem, and the second is what happens if the federal government, the Federal Reserve, continues to pump money into the banks by issuing overnight rates that are zero or below zero, which encourages banks to lend. And what if businesses look around and they go, wait a second, there's no demand. Why are we borrowing? Why exactly should I leverage up when the demand is not keeping up with my leverage? Why would I borrow money I'm not going to be able to pay back? It doesn't make any sense. And so we are seeing both of these things come to pass. There's a reason that Joe Biden's budget, his $6 trillion garbage budget that he's pushing, there's a reason that it forecasts a 2% rate of growth for the next 10 years every year. And that is high. It will end up being below 2% if Joe Biden gets his way in terms of this economy. Alrighty, coming up, a lot of people are really angry at corporations for profit seeking. You're directing your anger in the wrong direction. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems. Listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, U.S. Tax Shield can help you take back control. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Our team of tax attorneys can stop collections and get you protected. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the BBB, so call 800-466-9625. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-466-9625.
Poor Sam was a mess. Always itching, licking. His paws were soaking wet. He had bald spots on his back.
DINOVITE.com.
2 weeks after he started Dynavite, I started seeing great improvements. And today, 99% of his issues are non-existent.
Dynavite is nutrition.
Dynavite is the best thing you can do for your dog.
You won't believe how happy your dog will be.
I get my Dynavite from DINOVITE.com.
Hi, I'm Todd Simon, the fifth-generation family owner of Omaha Steaks. There's nothing I love more than putting a steak on the grill for Father's Day. With Dad's Day right around the corner, send him more than just a gift. Send him an experience with the Get Out and Grill assortment. This package includes 20 entrees he's guaranteed to love. My personal favorite is the 10-ounce butcher-cut New York strip. Plus, you'll get 4 New York strip burgers free with your order. Visit omahasteaks.com and type sizzle in the search bar. That's omahasteaks.com, keyword sizzle.
America's kids are returning to class, in school and at home. And this year, learning is especially tough for kids who already struggle with poverty, emotional trauma, and other barriers. But Communities in Schools is helping by putting caring adults in schools to connect with kids. And now, we're reaching beyond school walls, tutoring, mentoring, and counseling students, providing resources for at-home learning, doing whatever it takes to make sure all kids have the opportunity to learn and succeed. For more information, visit communitiesinschools.org.
Paid for by Bar Justice. Attention. Have you or a loved one been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months? Zantac may be linked to these cancers. Bladder, colorectal, esophageal, intestinal, kidney, liver, ovarian, pancreatic, stomach, testicular, and uterine. If you or a loved one have been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months, call now. Never stop taking medication without first consulting a physician. Call right now for a free consultation. Call 800-379-9550. 800-379-9550.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
Welcome back to the Ben Shapiro Show. So a lot of people are angry at corporations these days for seeking profit. Here's the thing. Your anger is in the wrong direction. Aim it at the government. I may not like it either. But the point is that unless you stop the Federal Reserve from pumping money into the system, corporations are going to take cheap loans, and then they're going to use those loans to arbitrage. They're going to take the loans at 0%, and then they're either going to lend it out at 3%, or they're going to go buy hard assets they think are going to appreciate at 3% or more over the course of the next 50 years. This is leading to massive price inflation, especially in real estate. So there's a big story that came out yesterday, and a lot of people right, left, and center are really mad about it. And this is where populists go wrong. Not because they are wrong in being angry about things, but because very often they're angry at the wrong people. Okay, it is not a corporation's fault if cheap loans are available. They are taking the cheap loans and then going and buying real estate. Any more than it would be their fault if cheap loans are available and they go and they take the cheap loans and then they buy stock. Okay, it is the fault. This all comes down to government policy. If you are willing to take up the risk of buying an asset at a higher price than the market would suggest, if you're willing to foot that risk, that's your problem, so long as you don't get bailed out. So there are two things that people who are seriously troubled by what's going on economically ought to oppose with all of their heart and might. Okay, one is the inflationary policy of the Federal Reserve, the cheap debt that continues to be pumped into the economy, the government spending that continues to promote unemployment and keep people at home. That is one. And two, no bailouts. No bailouts. If a big corporation like BlackRock decides to take out a bunch of money from a bank, or they decide that they're going to sell their bonds to the Federal Reserve and they're going to get back all of this cheap money, and then they take that cheap money and they invest it in real estate, and then the real estate goes south, no bailouts. And the moral hazard of TARP was just that. It created a massive moral hazard. And just like Occupy Wall Street was angry at the wrong people, they shouldn't have been occupying Wall Street. They should have been occupying K Street. They should have been over there in Washington, D.C., yelling at Congress. You remember the Occupy Wall Street movement that cropped up in 2009, 2010, in the aftermath of the great bubble bursting and the Great Recession. You'll recall people went over to Wall Street and started yelling at Wall Street. And it was like, why are you yelling at Wall Street? You should be yelling at Congress. Congress is answerable to you. Do you think yelling at BlackRock is going to make them stop pursuing fiscally smart decisions? It's not going to. The reason they're doing what they're doing is the incentive structure is all screwed up. Go yell at your congressperson. Go yell at the Federal Reserve. Go yell at Joe Biden. Those are the people you elected. Those are the people who are answerable to you, not the people who work at BlackRock. And yet people are misdirecting all of their energies. They're mad at corporations because, again, what populism does is it very often gets the diagnosis correct, but then the actual prescription is completely wrong. So the diagnosis is right, that you don't want corporations, giant corporations necessarily, coming in and buying up swaths of real estate and preventing first-time homeowners from being able to buy at market prices. You don't want them artificially driving up the price of real estate, but this is the point. It's not an artificial drive up of the price of real estate unless there's artificially cheap money being pushed into the system. The price of a house is what somebody is willing to pay for it. So you can say that BlackRock or these other big corporations are paying above market prices. Yes, they are paying above what the market price was before they were willing to pay for it. Now, what they are willing to pay for it is the new market price. If you don't like that market price, perhaps you should oppose the Federal Reserve's inflationary policy, which, again, that's a government agency. BlackRock is just taking out debt, and then they're spending it. And you should also have to explain, by the way, why it is that you think that the current homeowner shouldn't have the right to sell to BlackRock at an inflated price. That homeowner is, you know, part of the consenting bargain here. Hey, yes, there's an affected third party. That affected third party shouldn't be angry at BlackRock. That affected third party should be angry that the Fed keeps giving out cheap money. And yet people are directing their anger at all the wrong places. There's a piece in the Wall Street Journal about this that drove all sorts of ire the other day. That if you sell a house these days, the buyer might be a pension fund. Now, again, if the buyer is a pension fund, you know who owns stock in pension funds? A lot of people who are not actually big corporations. A lot of unions own stock in pension funds. A lot of retirees. A lot of your 401k is tied up in those pension funds. This is sort of like when people got very mad at the short sellers for no apparent reason with regard to GameStop. Like, oh, those short sellers, they're so bad. Look at them. They're leveraging up to short sell GameStop, and that's just terrible. Or maybe they are pricing in the risk of a market correction with regard to GameStop, right? That's literally what short sellers do. They are necessary to the market in order to properly price all of these assets. And so you can think that it's kind of hilarious what happened to the short sellers with regard to GameStop, but you can also recognize that short sellers are not malevolent forces in the financial universe any more than people who pump up the price of a stock are malevolent forces. As long as you bear the risk of your own decisions, it's on you what happens next. Hey, in any case, this Wall Street Journal article says a bidding war broke out this winter at a new subdivision north of Houston. The prize this time was the entire subdivision, not just a single suburban house, illustrating the rise of big investors as a potent new force in the U.S. housing market. D.R. Horton built 124 houses in Conroe, Texas, rented them out, and then put the whole community, Amber Pines at Foster's Ridge, on the block. A who's who's of investors and home rental firms flocked to the December sale. The winning $32 million bid came from an online property investing platform, Fundrise LLC, which manages more than $1 billion on behalf of about 150,000 individuals. The country's most prolific home builder booked roughly twice what it typically makes selling houses to the middle class, an encouraging debut in the business of selling entire neighborhoods to investors. We wouldn't expect every single family community we sell to sell at a 50% gross margin, said the builder's finance chief, Bill Wheat. From individuals with smartphones and a few $1,000 to pensions in private equity firms with billions, yield-chasing investors are snapping up single-family houses to rent out or flip. They're competing for houses with ordinary Americans who are armed with the cheapest mortgage financing ever and driving up home prices. Again, cheap fiscal policy means inflation. And whether it is people creating a bubble thanks to subprime mortgages in 2006, or whether it is the federal government pursuing inflationary monetary policy that drives down the price of loans and therefore drives up the price of things like real estate, centralized, bureaucratic money decision-making is generally not a good idea with regard to this stuff. And there are many people on the left who make fun of people who call for a gold standard. The reason for a gold standard is specifically so you can't do this crap. The reason for a gold standard is that you don't have people manipulating the worth of money. This is why when you wonder why so many members of the left are pissed off at Bitcoin. The reason that people are pissed off at Bitcoin is because Bitcoin is not controllable by a central authority, which is why people like me tend to be fans of Bitcoin, at least in theory. But people instead yesterday got super mad. If you pointed out that the ire was misplaced, that if you're mad at BlackRock, maybe you shouldn't be mad at BlackRock. Maybe you should actually be mad at the federal government. People are like, no, I want to be mad at BlackRock. Hey, and it's the same sort of ire that is driving all of the rage with regard to this new ProPublica report. So, amazingly enough, ProPublica, you know, they got a hold of a bunch of leaked IRS documents. Now, quick note. Kind of hilarious that the entire media put the kibosh on quote-unquote leaked documents from Hunter Biden's computer, right? Because they were leaked, is what we were told by the social media bros. Then, obviously leaked documents from the IRS, which is a crime, right? Obviously leaked documents were printed by ProPublica, and they've been blasted all over social media. So I don't think the Hunter Biden shutdown had anything to do with leaked documents. In any case, you know what those leaked documents showed? Pretty much nothing. What they showed is that wealth is not taxed the same way as income, which, again, makes sense, because wealth that has never been cashed out is not, in fact, income. If you have a house, and over the course of 10 years, your house doubles in value, you are not worth more money on a practical day-to-day level unless you sell the house or take out debt. Take a second mortgage or something. Right? The reality is that until you realize the value of the increased value, nothing has changed for you. It shouldn't be taxed the same way. How would you even do that? Okay, and yet people are super pissed. They don't understand this. They look at Jeff Bezos. They see that Jeff Bezos is really rich. And because they see Jeff Bezos is really rich, they're like, that guy should pay more taxes. And this sort of populist ire, it does span both sides. There's a populist movement on the right that embraces just this sort of stuff. And there's a populist movement on the left, the sort of Bernie Sanders progressives who believe this sort of stuff. And they sort of horseshoe around. You'll see that there are populists on the right who do the same sort of class baiting that people on the left do. How is it that Jeff Bezos paid no tax in 2000? Well, because he didn't realize income in 2018. The value of his stock went up, but he didn't sell any of his stock. If the value of the stock went down, would you give him a tax refund? I don't think so. And yet still, this has been treated as a major story by the media. Again, that ProPublica story, as Daily Wire points out, found that billionaires often manage to employ tax loopholes to legally avoid paying income tax, except those aren't tax loopholes. Right? Those are just how taxes work. And the highest earning Americans overall pay the lion's share of U.S. income taxes, period. The bottom half of income earners pay less than 3% of all income taxes. Plus, people who are wealthy pay sales tax on their purchases. Income is not the same as wealth. The bottom line, though, is that the ire at corporations is ire that is being misplaced. It is being put in the wrong place. Now, there's ire at corporations that I think is sometimes being put in the right place. But again, here's the rule with corporations. You need to change the incentive structure. Corporations respond to incentives. Corporations are just legal mechanisms for developing profit. That is all corporations are. And for limiting liability. That's all they are. They respond to incentive structures. So if you don't like what corporations are doing, then you should change the incentive structure. I will say I am amused to watch all of these corporations who attempted to comply with the diktats of the woke left now being eaten by the woke left. So you may have noticed this month, because it is quote-unquote Pride Month, you may have noticed that every major corporation that you can think of has decided to change its logo to include rainbows. Right? And now they've all got rainbows, right? I've got Zillow on my phone, and Zillow has changed its logo to include rainbows. Wow. So all the houses are gay houses now or something. Okay, well, congratulations. And now, people who are cynical might say that they are doing this because they wish to appeal to the most radical base, and they feel that everybody on the right is just going to ignore it, which is why Nickelodeon is pushing transgender propaganda to children. Okay, but remember, the left will eat these people. AOC tweeted out this week's guilty pleasure, watching Representative Jayapal, Pramila Jayapal, go down the list to expose phony corporate pride rebrands with how much money they've given to fund anti-LGBT plus politicians. Remember, just because a company slapped on a rainbow doesn't mean they support the LGBT plus community. Yes, they're never going to stop, gang. You decided to kowtow to them. They're never going to stop. They're going to eat you alive. And you know what? You full well deserve it. You bought the ticket. Now you take the ride. Again, you bore the risk, and now the risk is coming home to roost. And by the way, folks on the right, you should get active in just the same way. It turns out we have market power as well, and we are fully capable of using that market power to change the incentive structure for profit-seeking corporations. You're listening to The Ben Shapiro Show.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Jason Walker. Queen Elizabeth hosting the G7 leaders at an evening reception where Britain's royals mingled with the most powerful politicians in the world. Three generations of the monarchy attended that event. Officials will allow 10 million doses of the Johnson & Johnson vaccine to leave a Baltimore factory.
But material to make many more doses must be thrown out because of possible contamination. The FDA says it has determined that two batches from the plant could be released, but several other batches are not suitable for use and additional batches are still under review. The doses originated at an emergent biosolutions factory known as Bayview that is making the vaccine for J&J. John Scott reporting.
Also at townhall.com, U.S. confronting an ever-growing surplus of vaccines and lagging demand at a time when the developing world is needing those doses to stem a rise in infections. Nation may fall short of President Biden's goal of dispensing at least one shot to 70% of the nation's adults by the 4th of July. Law enforcement agencies across the country have experienced a wave of retirements and departures, and now they're struggling to recruit the next generation of police officers.
On the heels of what we had to deal with last year with law enforcement and public safety coming under so much scrutiny and having so many challenges, we saw significant exodus throughout this profession.
Atlanta Police Chief Rodney Bryant, new research finds the rate of retirements at some departments in the United States rose 45% compared to the previous year. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Are you a successful advertising sales professional? Are you happy with your current company? I'm Mike Reed, Senior Vice President of Salem Media Representatives. 2020 was a record year for our company, and that momentum has carried over to this year. As a result, we are looking to expand our sales team. Each day, our national marketing strategists work with CEOs, chief marketing officers, ad agency executives, and buyers to construct successful multimedia ad campaigns. Salem Media Representatives represents hundreds of radio stations, including several of America's largest contemporary Christian music stations, the Salem Radio Network talk shows, and the Salem Podcast and Influencer Network. Our national marketing strategists enjoy a competitive yet positive management supportive environment and a competitive compensation package. If you're a successful advertising sales professional, let's talk. Email us your resume at sales@salemreps.com. That's sales@salemreps.com. Salem Media Representatives is a division of Salem Media Group, an equal opportunity employer.
German Chancellor Angela Merkel will be the first European leader to visit the White House during the Biden administration.
President Biden is going to be hosting Merkel at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue next month. The White House announced that Merkel, who is leaving office later this year, will visit Washington on July 15th. Spokesman Jen Psaki said the meeting will affirm ties between the two nations, and the leaders will discuss the COVID-19 pandemic, climate change, and international security.
That is White House correspondent Greg Clugston reporting. Iran has regained its voting rights in the UN General Assembly after making the minimum payment on its UN dues, and then lashed out at the United States for maintaining sanctions that have prevented it from accessing billions of dollars in foreign banks. Spokesman says Tehran paid the minimum $16,250,000. Breaking news and analysis, townhall.com. Sounds a little strange, but this fall at Texas Christian University in Fort Worth, there will be no freshmen.
That's because the school is dropping the classification and replacing it with first-year student, all in an effort to be more gender inclusive. The school already has officially dropped the term, and the new moniker is in effect for any students taking fewer than 24 credit hours. However, the change is getting mixed reviews on campus. Similar changes have been made at several colleges and universities around the country, like Yale, Penn State, and the University of North Carolina. Ron DeRockster reporting.
Illinois lifting all capacity limits on bars, restaurants, businesses, and other venues some 15 months after the first stay-at-home order came about with the pandemic. Businesses, though, can still have their own rules for capacity, mask, and social distancing. More on these stories at townhall.com.
You can learn safety and elder abuse prevention strategies with another free event presented by Shining Care. The Senior Safety It Takes a Community Symposium is coming June 17th, 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. in the Wind River Resort Event Room. Lunch will be provided during a live simulcast featuring world-renowned keynote speaker Paul Greenwood sharing his expertise and tips to prevent elder abuse in our community. There'll be a Q&A session plus many resource exhibits all during the Senior Safety It Takes a Community Symposium June 17th in the Wind River Resort Event Room. See more at shiningcare.org.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. In response to COVID-19, NFI has scheduled online Zoom classroom sessions for CCW and CCW renewal. These online courses will be followed up with live fire range training, which will complete your certification. Follow-on range training is done with the same great instructors you've come to know and love. Give us a call today at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
Hey, and welcome. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. Today's show is sponsored by ExpressVPN. Thousands of my listeners have already secured their internet. Join them at expressvpn.com/Ben. Well, yesterday marked a big welcome back for Jeffrey Toobin, who's back on CNN. He's finally unleashed, and they were going to stroke him a little bit. Well, at least stroke his ego. They're going to have him on, and they were going to really fluff him up. You know, they talked to Jeffrey Toobin about why he had been banned and now why he was back. There was a lot of journalism in getting everywhere yesterday over all of this. Now, you'll recall that Jeffrey Toobin is a terrible legal analyst. He is the legal analyst for CNN. Same guy who suggested, after Amy Coney Barrett joined the Supreme Court, that within 2 years, states would have outlawed abortion across the nation. Yeah, no. He's been wrong on pretty much everything. He is radical. He is obnoxious. He tried to push his girlfriend, he was married at the time, to have an abortion. He's just a joy, wonder of a human being. And you'll remember that he was caught during a Zoom call. He was one of the casualties of the pandemic, career-wise. He was caught during a Zoom call with his pants down, quite literally, taking the dog for a walk. And it got awkward. He lost his job at The New Yorker over it. Must have been a very stimulating Zoom call. Really what happened, apparently his camera was pointed down in his lap, so it sounds like he had a couple of windows open at the same time, as well as a zipper. So things went wrong. He was suspended from CNN. He was welcomed back on CNN in one of the most awkward clips maybe in TV history. Yeah, this is not good.
In October, you were on a Zoom call with your colleagues from The New Yorker magazine. Everyone took a break for several minutes, during which time you were caught masturbating on camera. You were subsequently fired from that job after 27 years of working there. And you since then have been on leave from CNN. Do I have all that right?
You got it all right, sad to say.
Okay, so let's start there.
Okay.
To quote Jay Leno, what the hell were you thinking?
Okay, and then it went on like this for a while. So first of all, I have to give CNN credit for making Allison Camerota read out his list of crimes there. They couldn't just have Toobin get on and explain what he did and why. They had to have her, like, relate in front of him what he had done. And then Jeffrey Toobin played dead for a while. And then they just sort of went on as though nothing had happened. But let's just face this. CNN, where a banana is a banana, particularly if the banana is erect, CNN is a weird place. And there are a lot of weird people who do not perform their job, who get to maintain their careers over at CNN. So just to be straight about this, Rick Santorum lost his contributor slot on CNN for suggesting that the history of the United States and the post-colonial development of the United States was not heavily replete with Native American history, which is kind of true and also kind of not true, right? But it is certainly not on the level of you masturbated during a Zoom call, right? I mean, like, one of these things is a lot worse than the other. And by the way, you want to talk about sexism in the media? Megyn Kelly makes this point. If this had been a lady, you think she'd have her job back yet? Yeah, I do have questions. I have questions. Hey, so Jeffrey Toobin got his job back and his mojo, apparently. And Chris Cuomo still has a job over there after spending a year propagandizing on behalf of his brother while advising his brother, while his brother was killing all the olds in New York. You got Don Lemon over there who masquerades as a journalist, but really just massages himself, who performs journalistic Toobining nearly every day. And, of course, you have Jim Acosta, who is the worst White House reporter in modern American history, who spends every waking day thinking about Trump. I mean, ladies, find you a man who loves you like Jim Acosta loves Jim Acosta, but also somebody who loves you like Jim Acosta loves Donald Trump. That's a volatile relationship right there. Here was Jim Acosta still mentally masturbating. This time, he lost Trump. Trump is gone, man. Trump took off. And now Jim Acosta's lonely. He's so lonely. He's lonely and sad and alone. And so now he spends his days gazing out over the abyss at Fox News and then talking about how terrible Fox News and Tucker Carlson is. He needs an object of his journalistic lust. And that has become Fox News and Tucker Carlson. CNN, what a great channel. Here he was, Jim Acosta.
What they've decided to do since then is double down on being what I call the bullshit factory. They churn out segments that gin up outrage that they know is going to piss off their viewers and so on, even if it's cockamamie, made-up nonsense. He has these moments where he just sounds like a race-baiting tyrant, and it's like, what is he doing? What is that? It's ginning up anger and rage and frustration in a certain segment of the American public, and I do think it does just a great deal of harm to this country.
Well, I mean, if we've got Jim Acosta telling us what does harm to the country, I totally listen to that guy. I mean, you mean Jim Acosta, Fox News spends a time ginning up outrage? What do you do for a living, dude? This is a guy who took a picture of himself reading his audiobook while journalists were getting, like, killed in Venezuela, and he's like, look at me, man, I'm so brave. My bravery, it's just incredible. But you should definitely listen to CNN. Your establishment media, they are so trustworthy. They are journalisming all over the place. Jeffrey Toobin is their mascot. All righty, we'll get to more on our esteemed media in just one moment. First, summer begins this month. You know what that means? It's time to save on life insurance. That way you'll have a bigger budget for summer things like pool floats, hard seltzers, maybe a beer. Between Father's Day, Flag Day, National Yo-Yo Day, the month of June has a lot going on. And that means that right now is a great time to just get that life insurance thing off your plate. Go over to PolicyGenius.com right now. You can save 50% or more on life insurance by comparing over a dozen quotes with PolicyGenius. You could save $1,300 or more per year on life insurance if you use PolicyGenius to compare policies. The licensed experts at PolicyGenius, they work for you, not the insurance company, so you can trust them to help you navigate every step of the shopping and buying process. That kind of service has earned PolicyGenius an excellent rating on Trustpilot. Getting started is super simple. First, you head on over to PolicyGenius.com. In minutes, you can work out how much life insurance coverage you need, and you can compare personalized quotes to find your best price. When you're ready, the PolicyGenius team will handle all the paperwork and the scheduling for free. PolicyGenius won't sell your information to other companies, and they're not going to add on extra fees. Head on over to PolicyGenius.com right now to get started. PolicyGenius, when it comes to insurance, it's nice and super important to get it right. Go check them out right now, PolicyGenius.com, and compare life insurance policies and find the best one. Okay, meanwhile, again, more journalism and greatness, this time from PBS's Yamiche Alcindor. And truly, our establishment media are a wonder to behold. So here she was on MSNBC talking about Joe Biden's trip to Europe. So basically, Joe Biden's trip to Europe is all about how Joe Biden is going to reestablish ties with American allies. And our allies were so mad at us when Donald Trump was, but they were so, like, we're not going to evaluate whether Trump was right about things or wrong. We're not going to evaluate whether the United States was harsher on Russia, harsher on China, better on the Middle East than its predecessors. The only thing that matters is whether the French love us, guys. Like, you remember when Barack Obama, in the middle of the 2008 election campaign, traveled over to Europe so that adoring throngs could cheer him? And some of us were like, wait a second, none of those people vote. What is he doing over there? Like, why would I possibly care what the French think of us? I care so little what the French think of us, it would make your head spin. I don't give a damn what the Germans think of us. I care whether we're doing the right thing for Americans or not. I don't care what any foreign population thinks of us, frankly. The question is, what is in America's interest, obviously? But Yamiche Alcindor, she's like, you know, it's going to take years for Europe to like us again. Yes, clear. Okay, note to Yamiche Alcindor. The Europeans aren't real fans of the Americans for quite a while here. There's been a lot of anti-Americanism in places like France or in Germany for a while. Like we've been at war a few times. Here's Yamiche Alcindor just being a fool, as per her usual arrangement.
They still had this feeling of America being a leader and of America valuing our European allies. And that was lost for a large part when it comes to President Trump, who was just openly hostile and was so mean in some ways to our European allies. That being said, there's still big questions about whether or not President Biden, just in being here, can do that. Deep scars are really something that takes I've been told by experts years, and there are a lot of European leaders who are going to be looking at America for a long time wondering what exactly is going on with that democracy, and it might take several election cycles, I'm being told, to really do the sum of the work of restoring trust in America that President Biden wants to do with this trip.
I've noticed that Yamiche Alcindor, who works for PBS, which is publicly funded, I've noticed that when she says it'll take several election cycles to fix this, what does she mean by that? Do you think she means that, you know, it'll take a few election cycles that don't involve Trump, or do you think that she means there'll have to be several election cycles where my preferred politicians win? The fact that these publicly funded journalistic outlets are what they are is full-scale demonstration of the propaganda that lives in American public media. It's pretty amazing. By the way, here's a tweet from NPR today. There was a piece titled, Now Crocs with Stiletto Heels. Okay, there's the stupid idea that people are going to put stiletto heels on Crocs or something. And NPR, again, a publicly funded media outlet, tweeted out, capitalism breeds innovation, but they did so with sort of the capital letters and then the lowercase letters. The idea being you're crazy to think that capitalism breeds innovation. I'm so glad we can fund these people with our taxpayer dollars. It's really exciting stuff. Speaking of media outlets abroad, and so it's pretty amazing how many Americans on the left give credence to, for example, Al Jazeera. So Al Jazeera is a propaganda wing for Islamists. That's what it is. And yet, there are people on the left who will appear on Al Jazeera. You'll recall that I believe for a time Al Gore was working with Al Jazeera. Like he was working, I think Current TV worked with Al Jazeera. It's given a lot of credence, Al Jazeera, on the left, which is kind of amazing. Well, now it turns out that Hamas presented an award this week to the Al Jazeera News Network for what the terror group described as the outlet's great professionalism in its coverage of last month's war with Israel. And Al Jazeera accepted it. Khalil Al-Haya, Hamas's deputy head, said the Qatari-owned Al Jazeera network, quote, performed with great professionalism during its coverage of the Sword of Jerusalem battle and proved its commitment to the cause of the oppressed Palestinian people. The award was presented on Tuesday during a ceremony with Hamas officials and Al Jazeera employees. Hamas also praised Al Jazeera journalist Guevara al-Budari, who was briefly detained in an Israeli prison this week after being arrested for participating in a demonstration that turned violent. You'll recall that many members of the left, including, I believe, a couple members of Congress, who shall remain nameless, tweeted about the evils of Israel arresting this quote-unquote journalist, who's actually just a Palestinian anti-Israel activist. Now, again, Al Jazeera, apparently the management praised the visit of the Hamas delegation, stressing it will remain a title of high professionalism in its courage of events in Palestine, according to Hamas. So we'll see whether our establishment media continues to treat Al Jazeera as an esteemed media outlet. Well, one of the beautiful things about being a Democrat is that no matter how much you respect the journalisming of the journalists, you can always just step on them if you feel like it. Yesterday, Kamala Harris had an unfortunate exchange with an anchor from Univision in which she basically chided the anchor from Univision for asking questions. And why shouldn't she? After all, she's used to this sort of... It's amazing. If Trump said the kind of stuff that Democrats do to the media on a regular basis, they would lose their minds, obviously. They lost their minds when he said stuff that was milder. Democrats can treat the media as harshly as they want, but since the media and the Democrats are in an S&M relationship, it's considered totally okay. Here is Kamala Harris basically just boot-heeling a Univision anchor.
I've said I'm going to go to the border. And
when are you going to the border, the Vice President?
The administration has asked... I'm not finished. I've said I'm going to the border.
I'm not finished. Okay, you know what? That doesn't play as well. It doesn't play as well when you're not doing it to Mike Pence and pretending to be offended by his mansplaining. When you're doing it to a female Univision anchor, you look like an idiot. But, the media will just take it, and they will move on, because that is the way our media work. Alrighty, coming up, we're going to be getting to a Chicago Police Department officer who was shot over the last couple of days. It is indicative as to how policing actually works, but we don't actually see these tapes on the news at night. We'll get to that in just a moment. First, you know a great way to save a lot of money each month? You need to refi your mortgage. Okay, the fact is, mortgage rates are at historic lows right now, but at a certain point, the government is going to have to jack up those interest rates, and then the mortgage rates will get more expensive. So why not take the time to call American Financing and see how much money you can save on your mortgage this month? Take advantage of a free mortgage review. Learn how you can save hundreds of bucks a month, plus tens of thousands in long-term savings. It's got to be one of the easiest ways to add money to your budget, especially when you work with American Financing. They really are in it for you. They do whatever it takes to achieve your financial goals. They're not going to pressure you. They're not going to charge upfront or hidden fees. You can pre-qualify for free by calling 866-721-3300. That's 866-721-3300. Or you can visit AmericanFinancing.net. American Financing, NMLS 182334, NMLSConsumerAccess.org. Go check them out right now. Your biggest monthly bill is undoubtedly your mortgage. Why not lower that bill if you can? Head on over to AmericanFinancing.net. That's American Financing, NMLS, 182334, NMLS, ConsumerAccess.org. Go check them out right now. Alrighty, coming up, new tape emerges of a police officer being shot in Chicago. If it had gone the other way, you know that this would be a Black Lives Matter story. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Meet Bob Minetti.
My wife and I just celebrated 45 memorable years together. She and my daughter, Katie, are my anchors.
Bob and Wendy spent time fundraising for healthcare causes.
I guess I liked it so much, I decided to become a patient.
In 2016, he was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer.
I assumed that there was no hope for people with my diagnosis.
Bob participated in a clinical trial that included cutting-edge radiation therapy and surgery. He's been in remission since completion.
I'm so glad that I learned about what was possible for me.
I'm Keisha Sharp. Since losing my mother to pancreatic cancer, I've been working to ensure that everyone facing this diagnosis knows about the immense progress being made. Stand Up to Cancer and Lustgarten Foundation are working together to make every person diagnosed into a long-term survivor, like Bob. Visit PancreaticCancerCollective.org.
Furnished by Stand Up to Cancer.
America's kids are returning to class, in school and at home. And this year, learning is especially tough for kids who already struggle with poverty, emotional trauma, and other barriers. But Communities in Schools is helping by putting caring adults in schools to connect with kids. And now we're reaching beyond school walls, tutoring, mentoring, and counseling students, providing resources for at-home learning, doing whatever it takes to make sure all kids have the opportunity to learn and succeed. For more information, visit communitiesinschools.org.
If you're an attorney who struggles with the balance of managing your practice and practicing law, consider Lexicon as your number one pick. From client intake to billing, and all that comes in between, Lexicon doesn't miss a thing. Our comprehensive solution combines best-in-class software and services to take care of your firm's most critical challenges, automating many of the tasks that take time out of your day. It's all about giving you more of your billable hours back. And who doesn't love more revenue? No more searching for practice management that works. Lexicon marks the spot. Visit LexiconServices.com to learn what Lexicon can do for you.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
Poor Sam was a mess. Always itching, licking. His paws were soaking wet. He had bald spots on his back.
DinoVite.com.
2 weeks after he started Dinovite, I started seeing great improvements. And today, 99% of his issues are non-existent.
Dinovite is nutrition.
Dinovite is the best thing you can do for your dog.
You won't believe how happy your dog will be.
I get my Dinovite from DinoVite.com.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So, there's a tape that has now emerged, a Chicago Police Department officer being shot, and it is just demonstrative of how fast these decisions have to be made. And what's amazing about these tapes is that it depends which way it goes, whether it becomes a national story. So here, the police officer gets shot because he was too slow to respond to a threat. If he just shot the guy, then he'd be fine, but it would be a national news story. So here's a little bit of the tape. I'll narrate you through it. You see a police officer getting out of the car to confront a criminal.
Throw your hands, dude. Get your hands out of your pockets.
He says, show me your hands. Get your
dude,
hands
stop.
Out of your pockets. The guy's walking.
Get your hands up. Come on.
Oh, my God. He says, stop. Get your hands up. Right? Another police officer was able to shoot the suspect, but the police officer was shot in the process.
It's over here.
Okay, so if you run that tape back, what you will see is that this man is walking. They tell him, get your hands up, right? He's just walking, casually, right? He's a nice guy, just walking. They say, get your hands up. And the guy pulls the gun out of his pocket and then fires at the cop and shoots him before the cop can respond. This guy's been shot by a couple of cops who are behind. Hey, now, let's say, for example, that this guy had not had a gun in his pocket. Let's say, you go back literally half a second right there in the tape, just rewind it half a second. Let's say, right there, that this guy had started to remove something from his pocket that was not a gun. Or let's just say that after refusing the commands many times, he had taken his hand out of his pocket and the cop had shot him. Okay? What do you think the outcry would be? This is how split second these decisions are. Cop gets shot, cop doesn't get shot. That is a difference of 1/4 of a second, maybe. Maybe. But cops are held to account on this sort of stuff every day. Cops are supposed to have magic powers. Now, there's an easy way to avoid getting shot by the cops in a situation like this. Obey their commands immediately, and you won't get shot. If you decide to ignore the cop now has to make a decision. And the rational decision for the cop is, I don't want to get shot, because cops know that this is their job on a daily basis. But the cops are the bad guys, obviously. And the real problem in Chicago is the cops, according to people like Lori Lightfoot, the mayor, and the city council of Chicago. Pretty incredible. Meanwhile, the folks at the top of Black Lives Matter continue to get rich. According to Fox News, Black Lives Matter co-founder Patrice Cullors has reportedly set up a fence and electric gate around her $1.4 million home in Los Angeles. Cullors 37 closed on the 2,380-square-foot, three-bedroom, three-bath home in March. Cullors' finances drew attention in April after the New York Post reported she had purchased four homes for $3.2 million. She calls herself a trained Marxist, by the way. Cullors said the allegations she enriched herself through donations meant for Black Lives Matter were categorically untrue. She denied she received a salary. She said her income came from other sources, like proceeds from book sales and a YouTube deal. Totally unrelated to the $90 million in donations BLM received in 2020. Apparently, a neighbor told the Daily Mail that a subcontractor told them the wooden fence they were erecting around the property and other exterior improvements is in the $35,000 range. In April, the foundation disclosed Cullors had received about $120,000 in compensation from 2013 to 2019. Okay, but the good news is, if you're Patrice Cullors and you just spout a bunch of crap all the time about the cops and about the United States and about a wide variety of topics, you can still speak at a graduation at UCLA. According to the LA Jewish Journal, the UCLA Luskin School of Public Affairs confirmed that Black Lives Matter co-founder Patrice Cullors will be giving a pre-recorded speech as the keynote speaker to the school's June 11th graduation ceremony. And just goes to show you how perverse these colleges are. I remember when I went to UCLA, right? I'm a grad there. When we graduated, I remember that there was talk about Laura Bush speaking. There was so much blowback that they canceled the Laura Bush speech. Laura Bush, one of the least controversial figures in American public life. But Patrice Cullors can totally give a keynote address. After calling for the extermination of the state of Israel, after calling for the defunding of police all across the country, and after suggesting that America is brutally racist while buying herself $3.2 million worth of homes. Perfect. You know what? UCLA is a limousine liberal school, so it makes sense. So Cullors will be speaking at UCLA. Rabbi Abraham Cooper of the Simon Wiesenthal Center told the journal UCLA needs to determine if Cullors still holds the viewpoints she expressed in 2015. Judea Pearl, the Chancellor's Foundation of Computer Science professor at UCLA, told the journal he asked UCLA Luskin School of Public Affairs Dean Gary Segura if he would ask Cullors if she would retract her 2015 remarks. And Segura said, nope. Her commencement message is going to be one of unity, tolerance, and forgiveness. She suggests that a cooperative spirit can help heal old wounds and advance new solutions. I'm confident our graduating students will appreciate her perspective. How wonderful. How wonderful. So you can be as radical and Marxist and as much of a hypocrite as you could possibly want, and you will still get to speak at the UCLA graduation. And we won't ask about any of your previous radical views, so long as we actually kind of agree with those radical views. A predictable result of all of this, the glorification of some of the most corrupt people in society with some of the worst views, and the denigration of people who every day have to be out there on the job shutting down criminality, the combination is going to be rising crime rates. And in fact, that's exactly what we have seen, obviously. Those rising crime rates have nothing to do with the pandemic. They have everything to do with the vast amount of undercutting of police and glorification of some of the worst public figures in American life. The predictable result is higher crime rates. And then we'll get cries and weeping from the left about how too many Americans are racist because they won't stand for police reform as all of the crime continues to rise. Pretty impressive stuff. Already coming up, we're going to jump into the vaunted Ben Shapiro Show mailbag. You have to be a member in order for you to have your question answered in that mailbag. So head on over to dailywire.com/subscribe right now. Get your membership set up and you can ask a question. Maybe it'll be answered coming up. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Did the Redding summer heat put a toll on your vehicle? Is your paint faded, peeling, or even scratched up? It'll get worse faster than you think. You may think it's way too expensive to have painted. Well, think again. You can bring it to Maaco here in Redding and get a professional paint job and save big. With their $4.99 special, Maaco also has interest-free loans for up to a year OAC. Maaco, America's Body Shop, 3045 Crossroads Drive. Uh-oh. Better call Maaco, 226-0992. Have you been involved in a minor accident and find it's not big enough to go through your insurance company? Bring it to Maaco and get it fixed at a fraction of the cost. Remember, it's your choice where you go to have your vehicle repaired. Call Maaco for uncompromised quality, quick turnaround times, and all work backed by the National Maaco Warranty. Maaco, America's Body Shop. Stop it at 3045 Crossroads Drive or call 226-0992. Uh-oh. Better call Maaco, 226-0992.
Hi, this is Senior Chief Rob Burrows with the Northern California Veterans Museum and Heritage Center, and I am your host every Saturday morning from 9 to 11 with Battlefield Expressions. Battlefield Expressions is where we talk about veterans' issues, advocacy for our community, and those in our community who help support our veterans. Once again, join me every Saturday morning from 9 to 11, Battlefield Expressions on KCNR 96.5 and 1460 AM.
Hi, this is Dr. Patricia Bay, and my radio show, Therapy in a Nutshell, which airs on Saturdays at 11 a.m. on KCNR, 1460 a.m., or 96.5 FM, is a great show for you to listen to and learn how to effectively change your life. We talk about issues such as communication and trust, couples issues, and many more. Also, you can listen to the radio show on my podcast through the Anchor app, which is free and safe. Or you can tune into the iTunes or Spotify podcast and listen to it there. It's a nice show that'll help you throughout the day and throughout your life. So join me for Therapy in a Nutshell, Saturdays, 11 a.m. at KCNR Radio. This is Dr. Patricia Bay, trying to heal the world 1 hour at a time. You get me
every time. What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson State of Mind.
Shining Care invites you to join in the fun and show support for at-risk elders at the Family Health and Safety Fest this Saturday from 6 to 9 p.m. at the Sundial Bridge. Visit fun exhibits, enjoy food and great entertainment, win prizes with Resource Bingo and the Treasure Hunt. You won't want to miss the Sundial Bridge being lit up purple for elder abuse awareness. Plus, make a donation and participate in the Walk for Elder Abuse Prevention on the Turtle Bay Loop of your choice. An inspiring evening of hope and awareness happens this Saturday night at the Sundial Bridge. Info at shiningcare.org or call 232-5543.
When people ask me for a recommendation for a heating or air conditioning company, I always say Alliance Heating and Air. Why? Well, they've been taking care of our HVAC system for 14 years. Professional, friendly, and willing to go to the extra step for their customers. I have found no problem too difficult or too minor for them to repair. I recommend Alliance Heating and Air with no reservations. You can reach them at 530-221-2642 or online at homecomfort.org, and they have 24/7 emergency assistance. Alliance Heating and Air.
A Moment in History by KCNR and historian Donnie Smith. The town of Delta was established by the California and Oregon Railroad in 1884 at the confluence of the Sacramento River and Dog Creek. Railroad officials turned the site into a temporary railhead terminal, laid out a town site, and gave it a more dignified name of Delta because of the similarities of the town site terrain and the Greek letter Delta. Redding and Shasta merchants flocked to the area to open stores, believing it would be another red-hot railhead town like Redding. Delta soon thrived, but almost disappeared as fast as it had appeared. What little remained became a stopover for steam engines to take on water for the rest of the climb through the canyon. Delta still exists today as a very small, quiet community. This Moment in History was brought to you by KCNR and Shasta County historian Dottie Smith. For more stories like this, find Dottie Smith on Amazon or at the Shasta Historical Society.
www.thepetshelter.org.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. We are taking your questions in the mailbag right now. You got to be a member in order to get those questions answered. Head on over to dailywire.com/subscribe right now to do so. Danielle says, hey, Ben, do you think Virginia might be in play for the midterms and 2024? Yes, I do, actually. I think that Virginia is still a very purple state. The legislature in Virginia is still really, really closely divided. And so there is every opportunity for Republicans to make serious gains in, for example, the Virginia General Assembly. They narrowly lost it. Like last time around, right now, the Democrats in the Senate in Virginia hold a 21-18 advantage. In the House of Delegates, they hold a 55-45 advantage. That could easily shift the other way, particularly in the Senate, right? That's not very many seats in the Senate. And the Democrats have done a poor job in Virginia. Okay, they're trying to run Terry McAuliffe again because Terry McAuliffe was relatively popular in Virginia. But he's also, you know, a corrupt old Democrat. And so there is every opportunity for Republicans to make gains. The biggest problem in Virginia, obviously, has been the spread of the Washington, D.C. suburbs, all of these government employees who now live in Northern Virginia. But there's going to be a backlash to what Joe Biden is doing in 2022, and it is not going to be good for the Democrats. Joseph says, hey, Ben, is there anyone you think is a good candidate for the California governor position? There's so many to pick from. I've narrowed it down to Kevin Falconer, Doug Ose, and Kevin Paffrath. I like all their agendas. I'm not sure who's a strong candidate. Also, Gavin Newsom is the worst and a totalitarian. He has made my life worse since I'm a state worker. So I do like Falconer. I don't know enough about Ose and Paffrath to really sound off about them. I will say that right now, if you look at the polls, it is unlikely that Gavin Newsom even is recalled, right? That there will be a vote. It is unlikely that they surpass the first barrier to recall Gavin Newsom. But it's a pretty obvious sign that a lot of people in California who are dissatisfied. Hopefully that means a sea change. I have fears about California long term, which is why I am now a resident of Florida. Joseph says, hey, Ben, I think we need a theme song for Joe Biden versus the teleprompter like we had for good Trump, bad Trump. What do you think? I'm up for that. I feel like we need some, like, Rocky music. We've used it once or twice, and I feel like we could do that. Allie says, hey, Ben, my husband works as sales manager at a billion-dollar tech company here in Utah. The company has gotten more woke each year. Recently, he was told that a Turkish Muslim man he wants to hire didn't count as a diversity hire and basically is too white. My question is, considering it is illegal to discriminate in hiring based on race, sex, etc., is it illegal to discriminate in initial prospecting of a hiring pool to choose who to give interviews to in the first place? So it should be. Hiring and firing, that entire process, you're not allowed to racially discriminate under the Civil Rights Act of 1964. Now, there are companies that openly do this. Right? There are companies who openly, it's kind of incredible. There are companies who openly say that they will discriminate on the basis of race in favor of particular races. And since every job is a zero-sum game, only one person can get it, this means discrimination against somebody else. If you say, I'm hiring a black person for this position, you mean I'm not hiring anybody of anybody else for this position, right? Of any other race for this position. That seems like a lawsuit. It depends how clear they're being. Usually they edge around this to avoid legal liability, and they find some other excuse. Oh, well, it's diverse background that matters. And by diverse background, we mean race, but we're going to pretend we don't mean race. And that is the sort of nonsense that is pushed all the time. Tom says, hey, Ben, what's your best advice to any 1L student? Are there any Alan Dershowitz books you recommend on the Israel-Palestine conflict? Big fan. Hope to apply to DW one day. My best advice to a 1L student, read The Descent. Read The Descent. Okay, because very often, big decisions are taken as sort of, they're taken for granted, and you're supposed to just agree with them. Read The Descent, because usually The Descent, especially in Supreme Court cases that are sort of historic, tend to be more telling than the original statement. So do not simply abide by whatever your professor tells you, and don't fall for the simple psychological trap that professors set in law school of telling you that because all text is malleable, all text is endlessly malleable, and because you are smart, you have the ability to rule the world. This is something that we were actually told by Elena Kagan when we were 1Ls at Harvard Law, that we were all going to be ruling the world, which is sort of an arrogant statement. As far as Alan Dershowitz books I recommend on the Israel-Palestine conflict, he does have one called The Case for Israel that's pretty good. Joshua says, hey, Ben, after reading Irreversible Damage, as a father of a six-year-old girl, I'm freaked out she'll end up like some of the girls in the book. She's a girly girl, but so were some of the girls in the book. My wife and I are active in our church, share our conservative values with our kids, and I often wonder after reading the book, what's the best way to prevent the horrors detailed in the book from happening to our daughter? Thoughts? You got to protect your kid from all of these influences. And you have to mock this nonsense. You do. If your daughter comes home one day and she says, you know, people in class were talking about how girls can be boys. You say, well, that's a dumb idea. That's really stupid. Because guess what? It's stupid. Girls cannot be boys. You can say there is a condition called gender dysphoria. It's a medical condition, okay, with an actual medical with a clinical diagnosis. Okay, you don't suffer from that. You can do that. But, yeah, I mean, this is why you have to check out of the culture. The culture is terrible. The culture is undermining basic truths, basic realities. It's quite horrifying. And so the ability to do that is really important. You need to be able to mock silly ideas in front of your children and to dismiss them because they deserve mockery and dismissal. And don't let your kids be exposed to it as much as humanly possible. There's a reason my kids go to private school and they don't go to public school, even in a state like Florida, which is more conservative. We'll get to more of this in just 1 second. First, let's talk about the fact that big tech and big government, very often they're working hand in glove to stymie what you think or to keep tabs on you. And so let's say that you post something conservative. And let's say that the Biden administration wants to know who's posting about this stuff. Well, big tech companies sometimes work with the government to do that sort of stuff. But when you use ExpressVPN, you don't have to let them have all your personal information. The problem with big tech, they can track what you do online. What you're searching for, the videos you watch, everything you click, they can match your activity to your true identity using your device's unique IP address. When I use ExpressVPN, they can't see my IP address at all. My identity is anonymized by a secure VPN server. Plus, ExpressVPN encrypts 100% of my internet data for protection from hackers and eavesdroppers. ExpressVPN is by far the best VPN I've tried. It's the VPN rated number one by CNET, Wired, countless other tech publications, and it couldn't be easier to use. The app has one button, you tap it, you're protected. It is that simple. Defend your right to privacy, protect yourself at expressvpn.com/Ben. That's ExpressVPN.com/Ben. Get 3 months for free. Visit expressvpn.com/Ben to learn more. Nubar says, hey Ben, in this dizzying world of information overload, it's getting harder than ever to know who to trust run biased news without an agenda. Mainstream discourse can be so loud and predetermined that serious world events go by almost entirely unnoticed. For example, the war between Armenia and Azerbaijan in 2020. Could you name some independent journalists who you trust not to nitpick stories based on ideological narrative? Well, I mean, everybody has their biases, and so what I try to do is expose myself to a wide range of opinions. So on Armenia and Azerbaijan, we had on somebody who was writing for Heritage Foundation on this, who seemed to be rather pro-Azerbaijan, and then we had on an advocate for Armenia in that particular conflict. And then we kind of discussed with both of them the same questions. And that's very often a way to get informed about a topic when you don't know very much about the topic, but you know, it sort of depends on the topic. When it comes to issues of, for example, predation of parents' rights, I trust Abigail Schreier on that stuff. When it comes to bias in journalism, I trust Barry Weiss on that kind of stuff. These are all people who are not particularly openly conservative, right? But sometimes that is a necessary tool in order for you to be able to appeal to people who are not conservative and point out, you know, that even people who are not on the right agree with you. Owen says, hey, Ben, what are the chances that the Manhattan DA's special grand jury probable and in charges against Trump? Has a former president ever been indicted? Thanks and love the show. No, a former president has never been indicted so far as I'm aware. You have had Supreme Court justices, I believe, who've been indicted in the past, right? They've been impeached and then indicted. But I don't think you've ever seen a former president be indicted. I'm sure of that. What are the chances that they do it? I mean, since this is their stated goal, I would say the chances that they do it are at least 50-50. I mean, it's pretty obvious they're out to get Trump at this point. I mean, Letitia James, the AG of New York, came into office pledging to get Trump, which is an unbelievable breach of due process, but that is where we are. Ethan says, what role did the war on drugs play in the deterioration of the black family versus the war on poverty? If LBJ's welfare state was the most to blame, why is it that the black family has suffered the most? A fellow student in my law class said Nixon introduced crack to black inner city communities in order to lock blacks up and prevent them from voting in elections. How true is this? Thank you for all. Well, I have no evidence that Richard Nixon introduced crack to black inner city communities. I mean, that is a hell of a conspiracy theory. And the reality is that by the mid-1980s, it was black leaders who were calling for harsher sentences on crack dealers because crack dealers were wrecking these communities. The notion that the war on drugs is responsible for the skyrocketing single motherhood rate in the black community is a bizarre one, considering that the war on drugs really started in full swing in the 70s and 80s, and the rise in the black motherhood rate, single motherhood rate, came in the late 60s already. Right, early 70s. The fact is that crack dealers were not, typically speaking, crack dealers do not make the kinds of people who are living solid family lives. I think it is fair to say. You can be against the war on drugs. You can think that the war on drugs is a waste of time and it's a waste of money. But the suggestion that the war on drugs was specifically designed to harm black people is a sort of bizarre contention, considering that it was indeed high levels of crack cocaine use that were leading to the complete disintegration of the inner cities in the United States. Not according to me, according to people like Jesse Jackson in the 1980s. Axel says, hey Ben, Are there any good American history podcasts you recommend? Looking for something without a clear leftist bias. Well, I don't know that they're doing a podcast yet, but I know that the 1776 Project has been putting out all sorts of great material. They recently put out a new book about American history that is well worth checking out. Dan says, hey, Ben, I recently started watching your show per a suggestion from my brother. Do you have any suggestions for people that have already failed your three steps to being wealthy in the U.S.? I don't have a college degree. I've been in the workforce for a long time. I have a number of marketable skills. I can't seem to get above the $40,000 a year threshold. Without a degree, I apply for new jobs online. I'm not getting calls for interviews because I assume my resume is getting looked over for others that have degrees. A few years ago, I was married. My son was born. He's 5 now. Through some very unfortunate circumstances outside my control, I'm divorced. For my son's safety and well-being, he's with me full-time. His mother gets supervised visitation. I'm trying to do what's right for him, trying to provide him with the best life I can. Do you have any advice for me? Well, it is true. I mean, there are certain systemic problems with regard to the labor market. One of those problems is credentialism. I talk about this actually at length in my new book, The Authoritarian Moment, that college degrees have basically become a ticket for admission into the job market in too many areas where they really should not be a ticket to admission. But I'm not sure what you do for a living, and so it's hard for me to tell you on a specific level what you can do to increase your chance of getting a job. I would say that, I don't know, your custody arrangement as well, but the basic idea that you need to be malleable in your ability to move to a job makes a difference, because the job market is not the same in all states, and it sort of depends on the industry that you are in. All you can do is sort of deal with the problems that you have, obviously, and make responsible decisions from here on out. And that means that, you know, with regard to your son, do you have a family structure that is capable of supplementing you? Right? Do you have a way that your kid is taken care of when you have to go to work? And what can you do to set up a community around you with social fabric capable of helping you when times get tough? Right? It is a deep necessity to embed yourself in a community that is willing to help you when things get tough, because that social structure is going to provide not only a structure for you financially and in terms of, you know, the help that you need, but also in terms of spirituality for your family and a social support network that your son is going to need. Neil says, hey, Ben, can you discuss the Oslo Accords of 1993? They were a garbage idea, and they've been proved to be a garbage idea. The notion of re-importing Yasser Arafat from Tunis to the Palestinian areas, the areas that are heavily Palestinian, Israel, Judea, Samaria, the Gaza Strip, and then negotiating with the terrorists, it turns out that was a horrifyingly bad idea. And the reality is that Israel never should have engaged in the Oslo process. It was not only a complete waste of time, it was a counterproductive complete waste of time, considering a terrorist group now controls Gaza, and a terrorist group, namely Fatah, controls the Judea and Samaria region of Israel. So the reality is that Israel should have allowed there to be an organic rise in some sort of leadership class it could negotiate with. Instead, Israel attempted to force the issue because they were sick of the Intifada. And so they brought in an actual master terrorist with actual blood on his hands and tried to negotiate with him. Complete fail. Who could have predicted such a thing except anybody with half a prefrontal cortex? Neil says, hey, Ben, do you believe gerrymandering is good? Should it be prohibited? Thanks and love the show. Here's the problem with getting rid of gerrymandering. There is no good alternative solution. There are people who say, well, what if we had some sort of bipartisan coalition to determine what a fair congressional district looks like? And the problem is, who's on the bipartisan coalition? Everybody is biased. There is no evidence that these bipartisan coalitions end up with a better result than gerrymandering. And because gerrymandering works both ways, as soon as Democrats get in power, they just gerrymander right back. We all understand how this works. And it might be ugly, and we don't like how the sausage is made, but the sausage does get made. And the notion that it is impossible to remake Congress thanks to gerrymandering is belied by the fact that Congress has shifted control in 2006, 2010, 2018. It's going to shift control again in 2022. It's a lot of shifts in control of Congress for some sort of evil system that allows for faking the vote or some such nonsense. Lucas says, dear Ben, I just finished up my freshman year of college as a poli sci major and took a course on international relations. We learned about the different theories. I was wondering which one you would subscribe to yourself. Are you a realist, a neoconservative, liberal, or a combination of those? Thank you for everything you do. You truly inspire me. So I am a realist in the sense that I don't believe that it is the United States' responsibility to spread democracy all over the globe without regard to cost, right? I'm not sort of a liberal internationalist who believes that democracy will inherently rise everywhere all over the globe, and all we have to do is drop some troops in there and make it happen. That obviously didn't happen in Afghanistan. It didn't happen in Iraq. And there actually needs to be organic growths of institutions in order for that to happen. By the same token, do I believe that the United States should, if it is a low-cost, low-risk scenario, promote democracy? Sure. So I think we should support democratic allies because we need their intel, because we need their military development. Absolutely. So to completely disconnect realism from underlying principle is to mistake what realism is. Realism is not just pure power politics. And realism is also about recognizing your ideological opponents. There's always an ideological component to realism. So I would describe myself as more of a realist. I think a lot of people are disabused of sort of quote-unquote neoconservative ideas, meaning liberal internationalism in Woodrow Wilson style in the 2000s. Okay, we'll get to more of your questions in just one second. First, let us talk about your safety and security at your house. There are a thousand reasons why protecting our home matters to me. I've got a bunch of little kids running around. I want to keep an eye on them. I only have two eyes. I have three kids, and they are all moving fast. This is why I have Ring devices around my home. If somebody stops by, something is going on outdoors around the house, Ring lets me know. It is peace of mind anytime, knowing my home is protected. At my house, I can keep an eye on every corner of our house with Ring's easy-to-install indoor and outdoor cams. To get Ring Alarm for yourself, go to ring.com/Ben. It is the perfect way to start your Ring experience. The best thing I enjoy, besides Ring being a powerful asset for my home, Ring is also an affordable whole home security system you can easily install yourself. It's never been more important to be able to see who's there or what's happening anytime around the house, inside or outside. I can see it all in one simple app. With Ring, my family and I can keep an eye on our home no matter where we are, right from our phone. It's great to know you're not going to miss a visitor. With Ring's hassle-free, easy-to-install indoor and outdoor cams, and you'll know when those packages are delivered. Again, I use Ring to keep an eye on my kids all the time. The other day, I lost track of one of my kids, looked at the Ring cameras. I knew exactly that my daughter was in the backyard playing, as opposed to, you know, running out on the street and hurting herself. Start protecting your home today with Ring Alarm. Go to ring.com/Ben. Get your Ring Alarm security kit today. You can build the system right for your home. Have it up and running in minutes. Ring.com/Ben. That is ring.com/Ben. Alrighty, coming up, more from the vaunted Ben Shapiro Show mailbag on a Friday. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Are you over 50? Would you like to get up to 33% more income in retirement? Then call now for this free book, Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers, from a leading financial firm on maximizing your income in retirement. That's right, free. This free book reveals little-known truths about annuities in simple-to-understand terms that will help you make the right choices before buying an annuity. And it's free. As a bonus, we'll also throw in a free annuity rate report summarizing the rates and benefits from financially strong insurers.
Call 800-715-9880.
That's right. Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers and Annuity Rate Report. Both absolutely free for calling today.
Call 800-715-9880. That's 800-715-9880.
Sponsored by Annuity General. Producers have the appropriate licenses for the products they offer. Increased income is possible using strategies suited to your goals and may require buying multiple annuities and holding them full term.
Daisy sheds like crazy. Our hairballs have hairballs.
Our cat Mama, she has dandruff and an oily coat.
DINOVITE.com.
I was thrilled when I heard Dynavite for cats was coming out.
If you love your pets as much as I do, you'll want to do what's best for them.
Dynavite is a life changer.
Lately, she's been a lot more playful, a lot more energetic, more active.
Dynavite for life.
You won't believe how happy your cat will be.
DINOVITE.com.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
If you're an attorney who struggles with the balance of managing your practice and practicing law, consider Lexicon as your number one pick. From client intake to billing, and all that comes in between, Lexicon doesn't miss a thing. Our comprehensive solution combines best-in-class software and services to take care of your firm's most critical challenges, automating many of the tasks that take time out of your day. It's all about giving you more of your billable hours back. And who doesn't love more revenue? No more searching for practice management that works. Lexicon marks the spot. Visit lexiconservices.com to learn what Lexicon can do for you.
America's kids are returning to class, in school and at home. And this year, learning is especially tough for kids who already struggle with poverty, emotional trauma, and other barriers. But Communities in Schools is helping by putting caring adults in schools to connect with kids. And now, we're reaching beyond school walls, tutoring, mentoring, and counseling students, providing resources for at-home learning, doing whatever it takes to make sure all kids have the opportunity to learn and succeed. For more information, visit communitiesinschools.org.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. We are doing your questions in the mailbag. Become a member today at dailywire.com/subscribe, and your question may be answered in the mailbag. Wes says, "Hey, Ben, I have a lot of friends who are liberals or leftists. They keep talking about democratic socialism. To me, it sounds no different from regular socialism. What is democratic socialism? It hasn't really quite been fully explained to me. I want to keep an open mind. It sounds like some sort of Orwellian rhetoric." Okay, so your friends may be conflating social democracy with democratic socialism. So social democracy is basically Norway, Denmark, essentially a capitalist society with a heavy welfare state. The United States is essentially a social democracy. And that means that we have a good level of free market activity, but we curb free market activity by removing money at the top and then redistributing it. And this is most Western democracies at this point are social democracies. And, you know, in one way or another and in one direction or another, some more, some are less. And the notion that the United States is sort of this libertarian paradise is so weird. It's so bizarre. We have the most progressive tax rates literally in the Western world. As far as what democratic socialism is, that's just socialism. So if you're talking about the notion that the state is going to own all the means of production and that the state owning the means of production is going to be democratically governed, yeah, no, that never happens. And it is socialism and it ends up destroying the economy because in the end, you're never going to allow people to vote on how the factory is run every single day. If you do that, how do you even do that? How is that even possible? In the end, an apparatchik of the state is going to have to run the thing. And it turns out that people don't actually like the notion that the guy next to them gets paid exactly the same for being a lazy bum. And so the way that you can, the way that you do this is that you have to force the work, right? You actually have to have a heavy boot on top of everybody in the factory, right? As the Soviet Union learned over and over and over again. Anne says, "Hey, Ben, a member of a Daily Wire book club. This summer, we are reading the Federalist Papers. Some of our members won't have time to read the entire thing. Could you suggest 5 to 10 of the most important essays I could suggest for those who only have time to read a few? P.S. The Daily Wire book club read How to Destroy America in 3 Easy Steps for our first book, and it was amazing." Well, I appreciate that. Thank you. Okay, so the ones that people always suggest, Federalist 78 about judicial power. Federalist 51 is the very famous one about checks and balances. Those are the two that tend to be cited the most. I'm intending on bringing out at some point a series of explanations of the Federalist Papers where we go through them one by one. But again, 51, 78, those are the Federalist Papers that are most often cited. Federalist 10 comes up a lot. I think those are the three, right? 10, 51, 78 are usually the ones that are the most cited. Sometimes 45. So try those. Lee says, "The biggest social problem in America today is babies outside marriage, leading to single motherhood, father absence, poverty, and incarceration. What kind of government policy would help end this behavior? Do not incentivize it. Hey, you cannot do what Joe Biden just did and reattach welfare policies to single motherhood." And he just basically said that you get the money whether you're a single mom or whether you're married. And in some cases, you get more money if you're a single mom than if you're married. Also, you know, it's not all government policy. Right? That's what you can do to remove the incentive for single motherhood. But socially, we have an entire social system that is built on the idea that you are somehow more virtuous if you are a single mother than if you make the responsible decision to get married before you have kids. Why? Because you've overcome a struggle. You're part of a struggle now. Okay, it is not more heroic to be a single mom than to have babies with a husband in the house. It is not. And think about for just a second how our culture has treated these two things. Truly, how many movies are there about a mother who made a responsible decision to have to get married and then have a baby and the positive impacts of that? I mean, how often do we hear the word heroic attributed to a housewife or a married mom? Ever? True, really, ever? And yet you hear the word heroic applied to single mothers all the time. Well, again, it is not more morally heroic to leave your child without a father because you got pregnant out of wedlock than it is to get married and then have the kid. That doesn't mean that everybody who has a baby out of wedlock is a bad person. It doesn't mean that there are circumstances for some women in which they end up having a baby out of wedlock through no fault of their own. What it does mean is that a society that valorizes single motherhood above married motherhood is a society that's likely to get more single motherhood, and by the way, to end up with more broken homes. It's just a bad idea. Benjamin says, "Hey, Ben, my name is Benjamin Suarez. I'm 19. I want to join the U.S. Air Force. My passion is film. I worry being in the military might make me lose interest in a career in film over time. I want to serve my country. I feel like the military could help me build courage and good character. I'm confused on what I should do. I greatly appreciate some advice." If you love film, you will end up in film. And if your desires change, if it turns out you want to do something else 3 years in, well then, you know, your desires change and you're probably not going to worry about it that much at that time. But I don't think that trying out different things means that you're going to lose your original love for something. Alrighty, we'll be back here next week. Have yourself a wonderful weekend. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Jason Walker. Major cuts for the funding for wall construction on the southern border.
The Biden administration plans to cut off much of the funding former President Donald Trump was using for his border wall project, while also taking away the fast-track status that allowed the wall project to bypass environmental regulations. The Biden plan calls for returning more than $2 billion diverted by the Trump administration back to the Pentagon. Also, the Biden administration will not request new money for wall construction in the Department of Homeland Security 2022 budget. Trump vowed to build a virtually impenetrable wall that would be paid for by Mexico, but his administration put up only about 450 miles of wall, including 52 miles of new construction. Mike Gracia, Washington.
Also at townhall.com, G7 leaders pledging 1 billion COVID vaccines for struggling nations.
On the first day of the G7 summit in Cornwall, the first topic on the agenda is building the world back from COVID-19. The US and Britain have set the stage for donations as the US commits 500 million doses and Britain 100 million. President Biden says the US is committed to help lead the world out of this pandemic. UK Foreign Secretary Dominic Raab says the aim is to get the whole world vaccinated by 2022. The G7 group, which includes leaders from Canada, France, Germany, Italy and Japan, are being pressured to highlight their vaccine donation plans. The pressure has mounted as inequities in supply around the world have become more pronounced. Karen Shamas, London.
A Latino civil rights organization says in a federal lawsuit, Illinois Democrats used inadequate data and an opaque process to draw new legislative districts. Mexican American Legal Defense and Educational Fund is suing a number of top Democrats. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Pounds and pounds of fur. Our hairballs have hairballs.
Our cat Mama, she's 10 years old. She has dandruff and an oily coat.
I have two cats, Dixie and Daisy. Daisy sheds like crazy.
If you love your pets as much as I do, you want to do what's best for them to live long, healthy, happy lives.
DINOVITE.com.
I just tried this wonderful Catalicious Dynavite for cats, and my cat has been on it for 2 weeks. She is not scratching anymore. She's not chewing anymore. It is just the best.
I was thrilled when I heard Dynavite for cats was coming out because I'd seen the changes in my dog. To introduce my cat to Dynavite, I took the advice from Dynavite and put their food on top of just a scoop in the bowl just to get them used to it, because I know if I even switch one little thing, they put their nose up to it. There was not one problem.
Dynavite for life.
You won't believe how happy your cat will be.
DINOVITE.com.
For the first time in history, the Senate has confirmed a Muslim as a U.S. federal judge. Bob Agnew has the story.
On a vote of 81-16, the Senate has confirmed Zahid Karashi to become the first American Muslim in the U.S. to serve as an Article III federal judge. He served as a U.S. magistrate since 2019 and previously worked in the Department of Homeland Security and the U.S. Attorney's Office. He also served as a commissioned military officer who was twice deployed to Iraq. Bob Agnew reporting.
One student has been fatally shot at a school in northern Nigeria as gunmen abducted at least 8 students as well as 2 teachers in yet another violent attack on an educational institution in that country. It is the 3rd deadly attack in Kaduna State in as many months. Nigerian president has been under pressure to address the growing insecurity. Breaking news and analysis at townhall.com. Authorities trying to determine why a gunman killed a woman and child in a Florida supermarket before committing suicide.
They initially said the shooter and the victims may have known each other, but now the Palm Beach County Sheriff's Office says there is no known relationship between the suspect and the victims, a woman and her 1-year-old grandson. Nor do they know why he opened fire in the public supermarket. Panicked shoppers started running. One said some employees were crying. The sheriff's office identified the gunman as 55-year-old Timothy Wall of Royal Palm Beach. The names of the victims are not being released at the request of the family. I'm Rita Foley.
And now, late today, authorities say the gunman who killed those two had been threatening to kill adults and children on his Facebook page, but no one had taken the time to report him. More on these stories at townhall.com.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
Hey, come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson State of Mind.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Do you have a crazy schedule and can't seem to get to a class to qualify for your CCW, CCW renewal, or maybe learn to use that new firearm you just purchased? Consider a private class with NFI. Learn to shoot a handgun, rifle, shotgun, or even a BB gun. Classes are taught by an instructor that you choose on your dates and location. Give NFI a call at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and I'll see you at the range.
Hey, and welcome. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. Today's show is sponsored by ExpressVPN. Thousands of my listeners have already secured their internet. Join them at expressvpn.com/Ben. Alrighty, so it was a week in which there were many days ending in Y, and because it was a week in which there are many days ending in Y, one of those days undoubtedly would feature Ilhan Omar saying something anti-Semitic and or anti-American, because that's what Ilhan Omar does for a living. The representative from Minnesota is very often anti-American in her rhetoric. She is frequently anti-Semitic in her rhetoric, and she receives essentially zero blowback from the Democratic leadership. Well, things got awkward this week because a few of the Jewish Democrats in the House decided that they wanted to put out some mild criticism of Ilhan Omar after she tweeted out the following. Here's what she tweeted, quote, "We must have the same level of accountability and justice for all victims of crimes against humanity. We have seen unthinkable atrocities committed by the U.S., Hamas, Israel, Afghanistan, and the Taliban. I asked Secretary Tony Blinken where people are supposed to go for justice." So this is her in a tweet equating the United States, Hamas, you know, like a terrorist group that hides rockets behind children and that hides tunnels underneath hospitals and under schools, and Israel, and the Taliban, you know, one of the most evil groups on the planet, a group of people who literally try to murder young schoolgirls if they go to school. And so that is Ilhan Omar doing yeoman's work on behalf of terrorist rhetoric everywhere. And this is what she does. I mean, she's been doing this her entire career. She's been doing this since she entered politics. And is a woman who once wrote a letter to a judge recommending less harsh jail time for a person trying to join ISIS, because obviously American society was so terrible and horrible that it drove people towards these sorts of activities. I mean, Ilhan Omar is a disaster area. She's been a disaster area for a very long time. And yet every time she says one of these things, and she's said it over and over, right, the Jews are hypnotizing the world, or that it's all about the Benjamins, or that Israel and Hamas are exactly the same, or even worse, that Israel is actually perpetuating terrorism. You know, when Ilhan Omar does this sort of stuff, the usual Democratic response is to simply whistle and walk away. Now, there's been a growing anti-Semitism problem inside the Democratic Party for quite a while now. And this is perfectly obvious from the fact that half the CBC, half the Congressional Black Caucus, has met with Louis Farrakhan. It is perfectly obvious from the fact that AOC met with radical anti-Semite Jeremy Corbyn and then tweeted it out. And then when she was caught, she said, oh, yeah, I'll have a listening session with members of the Jewish community. Never happened. Right. Rashida Tlaib openly associates with people who are complete abolitionists about the state of Israel, would like to see Israel wiped from the map. In fact, on a map in her office when she originally took office, she had a post-it on the map that where Israel was, the post-it said Palestine and pointed an arrow directly at Israel, which is a genocidal point of view with regard to the state of Israel. Rashida Tlaib didn't like the Jews very much. Ilhan Omar, same sort of deal. Okay, and every time this sort of stuff comes up, the Democratic Party edges right up to criticizing, and then they realize, oh, wait a second. These women, they're Muslim, and they seem brown. And that means that if we criticize them, then we have violated our own intersectional protocols. Now, this blew up into sort of ugly view for the Democrats yesterday, because a bunch of House Democrats, all Jewish, put out a statement quasi-condemning Ilhan Omar. And just kind of quasi edging up to it. Always they edge up to it. Now, recognize something. On the right side of the aisle, when Marjorie Taylor Greene was talking about Jewish space lasers, every major Republican came out and said this is crazy and unacceptable. Okay, when when Steve King said stuff that was racist, the entire Republican Party stripped him of his committees and then primaried him. Inside the Democratic Party, you can hobnob with Liz Farrakhan, you can hang out with terror supporters like Razmia Oda, you can hang out with Linda Sarsour and do campaigning with her, you can hang out with Jeremy Corbyn, you can say openly anti-Semitic crap, and the best they're going to do is maybe they will mildly criticize. Now, one of the things that's really disturbing about this particular criticism is that it came only from the Jewish members of Congress who are Democrats, right? And it was only 12 of them. There are 25 Jewish Democrats in Congress. Only 12 of them signed this joint statement, and it is really, really weak tea. But the fact that only Jews were willing to sign on to the statement demonstrates that anti-Semitism is treated unlike any other form of vicious hatred inside the halls of Democratic power. If somebody in the Democratic Party had said something racist about Ilhan Omar, about her race, do you imagine that it would only be black members of Congress who would say something? Or it would be every member of the Democratic caucus that said something? But Ilhan Omar, every couple of weeks, she has to set that, just to set that calendar, days since anti-Semitic accident, back to zero. Every couple of weeks. And only Jews signed the statement. There wasn't a single major Democrat or minor Democrat, as far as I'm aware, who is not Jewish, who even expressed sympathy for this statement, which is kind of incredible. Basically, they're saying if you're a Jewish Democrat, you are on your own because anti-Semitism is not part of the intersectional coalition. Jews are not part of the intersectional coalition. And this has been true in progressive circles for quite a while. You'll remember that just a few years back, there was something called the Chicago Dyke March, right, which was an LGBT march in Chicago, and they banned people from flying a flag with the Star of David on it because Jews are not part of the intersectional coalition. BLM has openly endorsed the terrorist activities of Hamas in the Gaza Strip. I know that we're supposed to pretend that they were just supporting, quote-unquote, the Palestinians, but they weren't. Okay, they have openly acknowledged that they wish to see Israel disappear. BLM, I mean, this was in their original manifesto. They talk about liberating Palestine, which really does mean getting rid of Israel from the river to the sea. And when they say they support the quote-unquote Palestinians in the middle of a Hamas-Gaza versus Israel rocket war, it's pretty obvious what they are talking about. They're really not trying to hide the ball very hard here. Plus, if you go to any of these BLM rallies, they'll actually have, like, full anti-Semitic signs up there. So the intersectional coalition does not welcome Jews, and so the Jews in the Democratic Party are on their own right here. So here was the statement they put out about Ilhan Omar equating Israel and Hamas, which, by the way, again, is only part of what she said. She also equated the United States and the Taliban, which is, again, typical Ilhan Omar. She's consistently suggesting the United States is a massive human rights violator akin to terrorist groups, because this is what she does. And then, of course, she laughs about 9/11 on occasion. She's really a wonder and a joy. Amazing that we have such great congresspeople in the United States. She tweeted out, equating the United States and Israel to Hamas and the Taliban is as offensive as it is misguided. This is what the Jewish Democrats put out. Ignoring the differences between democracies governed by the rule of law and contemptible organizations that engage in terrorism at best discredits one's intended argument, and at worst reflects deep-seated prejudice. The United States and Israel are imperfect, and like all democracies, at times deserving of critique, but false equivalencies give cover to terrorist groups. We urge Congresswoman Omar to clarify her words, placing the U.S. and Israel in the same category as Hamas and the Taliban. Clarify. Right? So they didn't condemn her. They didn't just say, this is gross. They could have ended this before the last sentence, right? They didn't. Instead, they said, we'll give you a way out. Just clarify. And we will pretend you didn't mean what you very obviously meant since you've said it over and over and over. All you have to do is clarify just a little bit. So here is how Ilhan Omar originally clarified. She originally clarified by accusing the Democrats in her own party of Islamophobia. Because this is what she is, right? She is a person who is viciously anti-Semitic. And if you criticize her, then she claims that you are anti-Muslim in some way. No, I'm just against people who aren't anti-Semitic, actually, as it turns out. There are many Muslims who are not. Ilhan Omar is not one of them. There are many Muslims who are very pro-America. Ilhan Omar, in her rhetoric, certainly is not. And we're allowed to criticize Ilhan Omar without it being, quote-unquote, Islamophobic. But this is you want to know why, in the wake of all of these acts of Jew hatred that we saw on the streets of New York and Miami and Los Angeles and Chicago in the last few weeks, in the wake of that, all the Democrats were tweeting out about Islamophobia? Because what Ilhan Omar and Rashida Tlaib and company and the intersectional coalition have succeeded in doing is they have succeeded in suggesting that if you call out anti-Semitism, this is an act of Islamophobia, which, by the way, is slanderous towards Muslims, because it turns out that Muslims don't actually have to be anti-Semitic. If the claim is that you calling out anti-Semitism is inherently Islamophobic, what you are actually saying is that Islam is anti-Semitic, which, again, there are many, many, many millions of Muslims who are not anti-Semitic. In any case, here's Ilhan Omar. She tweeted out, right, this is her clarification, her original clarification. She tweeted out, it's shameful For colleagues who call me when they need my support to now put out a statement asking for clarification. And not just call. The Islamophobic tropes in this statement are offensive. Where are the Islamophobic tropes? Seriously, where? What, can she name them? Notice the game she's playing right here. So, the anti-Semitic tropes she's used in the past include that the Jews hypnotize the world and that Jewish money controls American Congress. And those are actual anti-Semitic tropes. There's not a single Islamophobic trope in that entire statement, but she's accusing her colleagues of Islamophobia. The constant harassment and silencing from the signers of this letter is unbearable. Unbearable. Oh! Oh, the tears! Like LeBron James flopping politically. Like, oh my God. Oh! I can't believe it. The constant harassment. Oh, it's so difficult to be Ilhan Omar. It's so difficult to be elected to Congress, being an immigrant to the United States, and being on the cover of Rolling Stone, and being featured on the Foreign Affairs Committee, despite being openly anti-Jewish. Wow, I mean, what a rough world she has. By the way, this lie that her colleagues never go to her quietly, it is just that. It is a lie. Okay, the fact is, members of the Jewish Minneapolis community went to her quietly. They went behind closed doors, and then she betrayed them by talking about how terrible they were, basically, publicly. Rashida Tlaib has done the same thing, so has AOC. Amazing to watch Democrats like Ilhan Omar, who has not been shy about ripping into other Democrats, suggest that it's the responsibility of other Democrats to come to her and clarify with her quietly about all this. Just such a lie. They don't do any of that. Okay, so what has been the response from the higher-ups in the Democratic Party? Because it looked like it was coming to a head. It looked as though, finally, it was going to be the Jewish Democrats versus Ilhan Omar and the rest of the squad. Because you had people like Rashida Tlaib tweeting in defense of Ilhan Omar, right? Rashida Tlaib tweeted this out. This is such unbelievable gaslighting. Quote, "Freedom of speech doesn't exist for Muslim women in Congress," she said on Twitter to her millions of followers, as printed in every major newspaper. "Freedom of speech doesn't exist for Muslim women in Congress? Really? Really? You want to know where freedom of speech doesn't exist for Muslim women? Pretty much everywhere in the Islamic world. That's where freedom of speech doesn't exist for Muslim women. Women, like, doesn't exist. The statement is so self-contradictory, it's unbelievable. Doesn't exist for Muslim women in Congress. I think we've established that Muslim women have freedom of speech in the United States. They're in Congress, the legislature. What in the actual... But you're silencing Rashida Tlaib. How dare you silence Rashida? She doesn't sound so silent, but, you know, maybe that's just me because I'm actually reading her words. Freedom of speech doesn't exist for Muslim women in Congress. The benefit of the doubt doesn't exist for Muslim women in Congress. There's no benefit of the doubt. She literally equated the United States and the Taliban and Israel and Hamas. And she does this over and over and over. You don't get the benefit of the doubt the ninth time. You get the benefit of the doubt like the first time. Maybe the second time. By the time you're getting to like 6, 7, 8, 9 anti-Semitic statements, people start to go, hey, maybe we shouldn't give this person the benefit of the doubt. Weird, you know. I gave you the benefit of the doubt the first time my wallet disappeared at your house, but like the eighth time my wallet disappeared at your house, I had to start thinking to myself, hey, maybe there's something going on at this person's apartment. Says Rashida Tlaib, House Democratic leadership should be ashamed of its relentless, exclusive tone policing of Congresswomen of color. Notice that the turnabout is fair play here. Right, how dare Nancy Pelosi, how dare anybody criticize Muslim women of color? You can't do that. You can't do that. Relentless tone. Again, these are the same people who are claiming that that Jewish Democratic statement, which was like the mildest thing I've ever seen, that is tone policing, that they're censoring them. Okay, so finally, you have people like AOC did the same thing, by the way. Here's AOC's response. Pretty sick and tired of the constant vilification, like intentional mischaracterization and public targeting of Ilhan Omar coming from our caucus. They have no concept for the danger they put her in by like skipping private conversations and leaping to fueling targeted news cycles around her. This is coming from the same lady who every day goes out and rips on Joe Manchin and basically suggests he's a racist. But I love this, that Ilhan Omar, oh man, they're constantly vilifying. Oh, she's such a victim, Ilhan Omar. So is AOC. They're such victims. The cry bullying is beyond compare. I mean, truly crazy. AOC on the cover of Rolling Stone with Ilhan Omar and Nancy Pelosi. Oh my God, people are just targeting her. Oh, the vilification. Oh, woe is me. America's a terrible place. People notice that Ilhan Omar hates Jews, and then they said it. They noticed that she equated the United States and the Taliban, and then they pointed that out. Oh, the viciousness. Oh, the cruelty. But here's the bottom line. This is Ilhan Omar's party, and she can cry if she wants to. We'll get to that in just 1 second. First, the reality is that when I am away from home, I just don't sleep as well. Why? Well, I don't have my personalized mattress. I need my Helix Sleep mattress. Helix Sleep built a quiz. It takes 2 minutes to complete. They use the answers to match your body type and sleep preferences to the perfect mattress for you. If you like a mattress that's really soft or firm, if you sleep on your side, your back, your stomach, if you sleep really hot with Helix, there's a specific mattress for each and everybody's unique taste, like me. Just go to helixsleep.com/Shapiro. They will match you to a mattress that'll give you the best sleep of your life. I, for example, I like my mattress firm. I like it cool. Well, Helix made that mattress for me, and it is just great. Everything is made right here in America. They've got a 10-year warranty. You get to try it out for 100 nights risk-free, so you got nothing to lose. Because if you try Helix and don't like it, they'll pick it right up for you, no problem. Right now, Helix is offering up to $200 off all mattress orders. Get up to $200 off at helixsleep.com/Shapiro. When I say that this is a great deal, I really mean it because, again, I sleep on a Helix mattress, but others have already testified to how great Helix is. It was rated the best mattress of 2019 by both GQ and Wired magazine. Head on over to helixsleep.com/Shapiro right now and get up to $200 off your mattress order. Alrighty, coming up, Ilhan Omar finally issued a clarification. It wasn't really a clarification, it was a walk back, but it allowed the Democrats to pretend along with her. This is The Ben Shapiro Show.
Hi, I'm Albert Pujols, first baseman for the Los Angeles Angels.
And I'm Deidre Pujols. We need your help to strike out slavery. Today, millions of people are caught in this nightmare of violence, fraud, and coercion. Human trafficking is happening in our communities and around the world, and we need to act right now.
So we are sending out this SOS, a call for your help in the fight for freedom.
Please join us by visiting strikeoutslavery.com.
Furnished by the Entertainment Industry Foundation.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, U.S. Tax Shield can help you take back control. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Our team of tax attorneys can stop collections and get you protected. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the BBB, so call 800-466-9625. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-466-9625.
Since COVID, people are home with their pets more often, and I think now, especially with the shedding, they're more cognizant of what's going on and that it's an actual issue, and Dynavite has helped tremendously in our house with that.
I just heard the Dynavite commercial so many times, so I said, you know what, I'll give it a shot, and I ordered it and tried it, and it worked.
The Dynavite, the being at home, working with them, they all love it.
Me and Chewy are together 24/7.
Within 3 weeks, he's not scratching and itching, and he's an all-around happier dog.
DINOVITE.com.
America's kids are returning to class, in school and at home. And this year, learning is especially tough for kids who already struggle with poverty, emotional trauma, and other barriers. But Communities in Schools is helping by putting caring adults in schools to connect with kids. And now, we're reaching beyond school walls, tutoring, mentoring, and counseling students, providing resources for at-home learning, doing whatever it takes to make sure all kids have the opportunity to learn and succeed. For more information, visit communitiesinschools.org.
Paid for by Bar Justice. Attention. Have you or a loved one been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months? Zantac may be linked to these cancers. Bladder, colorectal, esophageal, intestinal, kidney, liver, ovarian, pancreatic, stomach, testicular, and uterine. If you or a loved one have been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months, call now. Never stop taking medication without first consulting a physician. Call right now for a free consultation. Call 800-379-9550. 800-379-9550.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So finally, Ilhan Omar issued a clarification. She released the following clarification on her questions during the House Foreign Affairs Committee this week. Quote, on Monday, I asked Secretary of State Antony Blinken about an ongoing international criminal court investigations. Okay, not good grammar. To be clear, the conversation was about accountability for specific incidents regarding these ICC cases, not a moral comparison between Hamas and the Taliban and the U.S. and Israel. I was in no way equating terrorist organizations with democratic countries with well-established judicial systems. Well, number one, thanks to Ilhan Omar for acknowledging that Israel is a democratic country with a well-established judicial system. That's a first for Ilhan Omar. But also, can we go back to her original tweet? Because according to her, she's not making a comparison. Quote, we have seen unthinkable atrocities committed by the U.S., Hamas, Israel, Afghanistan, and the Taliban. I kind of think you were making the comparison. I kind of think you were, because you do it all the damn time. Okay, so she issues her clarification. And now the Democratic Party has its way out. Now they can all pretend that she didn't mean what she very clearly meant. Right, now they can all go back to everything. Weapons down, everything is fine. So you have John Garamendi, Democratic representative. I don't think that Ilhan Omar intended to compare the United States and Israel to Hamas and the Taliban, even though she does it like all the damn time. No, Ilhan, no, come on.
I think she needs to be much more careful. I don't think she ever intended to lump the United States and Israel into the same terrorism that was being conducted by those other terrorist organizations. She ought to walk it back. She ought to be very, very careful here. The problem is that this kind of language incites violence here in the United States.
Okay, but she didn't mean it, guys. Probably she didn't mean it. Now, do you think that benefit of the doubt would accrue to any other members of Congress other than Rashida Tlaib and Ilhan Omar? Truly. Do you think that? Nope. So here's Nancy Pelosi's statement. So here's an amazing thing. There was a several-hour period here where Ilhan Omar had not, quote-unquote, walked anything back or clarified. Right? There was a several-hour period yesterday when these Jewish Democrats had put out a statement, and Ilhan Omar and her crew were busily tweeting about how vicious and terrible these Jewish Democrats were. Not a single member of the media hunted down a single Democrat in the House and asked, who do you side with here? Who do you think is right? Not a single one. Not a single one went to Nancy Pelosi and said, do you have any response to these Jewish Democrats claiming that Ilhan Omar is engaged in basically anti-Semitism? It's amazing. So, if Marjorie Taylor Greene, before she enters Congress, puts out a weird Facebook post about Jewish space lasers or whatever. And by the way, even if I did control a Jewish space laser, I wouldn't tell you guys. But when they went to every single Republican in Congress and asked about Marjorie Taylor Greene. She's a backbencher. Ilhan Omar's on the Foreign Affairs Committee. Ilhan Omar's appearing on the cover of magazines with the Democratic House leadership. Hey, not a single question I'm aware of to any member of Congress about this sort of stuff until after Ilhan Omar had already performed her walk back. It's certainly no questions to the members of the House leadership. Right? The media just fell asleep at the switch, or they don't really care. And the answer is they don't really care because they are too invested in the same intersectional politics that the Democrats are invested in, which means the radicals rule the roost here. There are two ways radicals take over the Democratic Party. One is they get elected to Congress. That's happening sometimes, but not all the time. The second is the rest of the party simply caves to the radicals because the radicals are loud and annoying and irritating. And that is definitely happening. So here was a statement from Speaker Nancy Pelosi, Majority Leader Hoyer, Majority Whip Clyburn, Assistant Speaker Catherine Clark, Caucus Chairman Hakeem Jeffries, Caucus Vice Chair Pete Aguilar. Quote, legitimate criticism of the policies of both the United States and Israel is protected by the values of free speech and democratic debate. And indeed, such criticism is essential to the strength and health of our democracies. But drawing false equivalencies between democracies like the U.S. and Israel and groups that engage in terrorism like Hamas and the Taliban foments prejudice and undermines progress toward a future of peace and security for all. We welcome the clarification by Congresswoman Omar, there is no moral equivalency between the U.S. and Israel and Hamas and the Taliban. Oh, well, you welcomed it, did you? Wow. Yeah, I mean, amazing. So you called for Jewish Democrats called for a clarification. She clarified by basically saying, you know that thing I said? You just misinterpreted it. I definitely didn't mean that thing that I very obviously said. And Pelosi's like, incredible. So she'll just continue getting away with this sort of stuff. And we'll play this game every couple of months. And the Democratic Party will continue to engage with the growing anti-Semitism in its own ranks and pretend that it doesn't exist. The New York Times obviously is going to foment this stuff. Here's how the New York Times reported this. You ready? Because the New York Times, as Seth Mandel points out, he's over at the Washington Examiner. He says, the New York Times is not a newspaper. Correct. Here's how the New York Times covered this. You ready? Republicans, eager to stoke outrage and portray Democrats as anti-Israel, jump on Ms. Omar's language, especially after anti-Semitic comments by one of their own members, Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene of Georgia, whose recent comparisons of the Holocaust to pandemic safety policies drew condemnation from her own leaders. Wait, what the F? What does this have to do exactly with Republicans? It's always Republicans pounce. Ilhan Omar, anti-Semite. Rashida Tlaib, anti-Semite. Democratic caucus mildly condemns them and then backs away. And the story is Republicans pounce. Also, how exactly is that an owning of the Republicans? I'm confused. So according to the New York Times, the bad guys here are somehow the Republicans who condemned anti-Semitism in their own ranks and also condemn it among Democrats. Meanwhile, the Democrats who refuse to condemn anti-Semitism in their own ranks, they're totally fine. That is a hot take right there. Alrighty, coming up, Bidenomics is a failure. We have new evidence to show you. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
KCNR, 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at am1460.com. Don't miss Free Fire Radio weekday mornings from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. with Carl and Linda Bott. From 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, the conscience of the nation. From noon to 3, find your financial peace with Dave Ramsey. From 3 to 6, don't miss constitutional expert Mark Levin. Monday through Thursday night, starting at 6 p.m., we have local shows featuring everything from the paranormal to riding routes, pop culture, and unsung heroes in the North State. From 7 to 10, tune into Ben Shapiro with an expanded program that brings the issues of the day to your radio. KCNR also has an incredible weekend lineup, including The Plotline, Jefferson State of Mind, Sovereign Minds, and We the People on KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at kcnr1460.com.
North State Now is a magazine formatted show at 6 p.m. every Thursday night. The first Thursday is yours truly, Linda Bott, featuring what's going on in our town. The second Thursday is hosted by Michelle Slade, featuring heroes of the North State. The third Thursday is hosted by none other than James Masada and Rhonda Alvey from Enjoy the Magazine and Enjoy the Store. Our newest edition is the fourth Thursday of the month, Women of Vision. That's North State Now, Thursday at 6 p.m., also streaming on KCNR1460.com.
Shining Care invites you to Walk for Elder Abuse Prevention this Saturday evening at the Sundial Bridge. Your entry fee allows you to walk anytime between 6 and 8:30 p.m. on the Turtle Bay Loop of your choice. You'll get a free purple t-shirt to wear at the event and a free treasure hunt ticket for a chance to win the treasure chest full of cash and prizes. Join in the Walk for Elder Abuse Prevention with proceeds funding free Shining Care services and programs in our community. For more info and to register, visit shiningcare.org or call 232-5543.
Remodeled kitchen, bathroom, or backyard patio? There's a lot of choices, but only one leader, Estate Granite.
Mike Huber has such a professional attitude and a can-do work ethic that makes him a joy to work with. Mike and his crew worked to have our new kitchen finished in 5 days. We came back to a true work of art.
Hi, this is Brian Filato, broker and co-owner of the Real Estate Group. In today's competitive market, I think what's important is that the house is dialed in and turnkey. And what's important is that the kitchen has been renovated, the bathrooms have been renovated, granite, beautiful cabinetry. Those things make a significant difference.
Mike at Estate Granite has an eye for detail, an attention to perfection, and a quality build crew that are masters of their craft. Mike was there from start to finish.
Hi, this is Mike from Estate Granite. I know how important quality to a homeowner is, so give me a call at 241-STONE or come by our showroom at 4900 Mountain Lakes Boulevard or visit us at EstateGranite.com.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. Although Coachmaster is recognized as the authority and specialist in frame and suspension, we are primarily your auto body and truck collision repair center. This includes all vehicles, Lexus, Honda, or pickup trucks. Our technicians are highly trained and have the most advanced equipment to ensure a complete and quality repair. With our knowledge and the insurance claim process, all we need is your claim number to handle your claim. Coachmaster has a great working relationship with all insurance companies. This ensures a complete repair with quality parts and a delay-free process. At Coachmaster, in our 50 years in business, we've experienced almost every situation imaginable in a claim. This experience and personal dedication to the repair of your vehicle sets Coachmaster apart from all other choices. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Did the Redding summer heat put a toll on your vehicle? Is your paint faded, peeling, or even scratched up? It'll get worse faster than you think. You may think it's way too expensive to have painted. Well, think again. You can bring it to Maaco here in Redding and get a professional paint job and save big with their $4.99 special. Maaco also has interest-free loans for up to a year OAC. Maaco, America's Body Shop, 3045 Crossroads Drive. Uh-oh. Better call Maaco. 226-0992. Have you been involved in a minor accident and find it's not big enough to go through your insurance company? Bring it to Maaco and get it fixed at a fraction of the cost. Remember, it's your choice where you go to have your vehicle repaired. Call Maaco for uncompromised quality, quick turnaround times, and all work backed by the National Maaco Warranty. Maaco, America's Body Shop. Stop it at 3045 Crossroads Drive or call 226-0992. Uh-oh. Better call Maaco, 226-0992.
Taman Industry Foundation.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So, Bidenomics, giant fail. CBS News reported yesterday that inflation has now reached a 13-year high.
Prices are rising as the U.S. economy recovers from the pandemic downturn. The inflation rate soared to a 13-year high in May, pushing the cost of living 5% higher than this time last year. Labor Department data shows the consumer price index rose 0.6% from April, exceeding expectations. Record high prices for used cars were the largest contributor to the inflation surge, with prices climbing more than 7%. The nation's inflation watchdog, the Federal Reserve, is dismissing concerns over rising prices, saying it's only temporary.
Okay, well, it may only be temporary, but the question is, how long does temporary remain temporary? There are two problems with regard to the Bidenomics policy. One is the short-term inflation. The Fed keeps saying that inflation is going to go down at some point here. Now, the experts were saying earlier this year that the inflation rate for the entire year of 2021 was going to be like 2.6%, already at like 4%. So, unless things dramatically decrease in the remaining half of the year, we've got a problem on our hands. Right? It's very easy to fall into an inflationary cycle so long as you keep pumping money into the economy, so long as Congress keeps passing unemployment benefits, so long as Congress keeps pushing forward these $2 trillion infrastructure packages, keep pouring money into an economy while encouraging people never to go back to work. The definition of inflation is too many dollars chasing too little product. You end up with price inflation, and this means that your dollar doesn't go as far. It means that people are unlikely to invest as much in American debt, which again drives the Fed to start purchasing some more of the debt to inject more money into the economy. All of this is really bad. So that is problem number one. Problem number two is that the general view of the Bidenomics crew is that the more money you suck out of the private sector and redistribute in these ways, the better it is. The problem with this, of course, is that it leads to economic stagnation, because it turns out the people who are most likely to invest and people who are most likely to put their money in R&D to develop new products and services are the people whose money you are taking away from them. Right? The truth is, every check that you have ever gotten as an employee is coming from somebody who is richer than you. Right? That is just a general good rule of thumb. And that will always continue to be true, because you generally don't have people who are poor engaging or employing people who are richer. People who are richer, because they have more capital, they tend to then expend that capital to take risks and build businesses. Right? Entrepreneurship drives the economy forward. The reason that the economy now is more robust than the economy 50 years ago, and it is because of all of the new products and services. Human nature hasn't changed. What has changed is the cool stuff that you can get for a buck that you could not get for a buck 50 years ago. The truth is, the middle income person in the United States today is living better than the richest person on earth was probably in 1900. I mean, undoubtedly in 1900. They didn't have working toilets in many places in the world in 1900. There were no cell phones. There were no cars, right? Devices have gotten better. Things have gotten better. The reason things have gotten better is because people took their money and they invested it in brand new products and services that you enjoy. The entire Bidenomics model is designed to take money away from those people and then redistribute it as geniuses like Joe Biden think is fit. We need to have Ronald Klain deciding where dollars go. All these people who have never created a product, have never created a service, have never employed a person with their own money, all of these people are saying they know what to do with the money better than the people who've actually, you know, hired hundreds of millions of people, which is kind of an incredible statement. And what are they doing? What are the experts doing right now? Well, they're busy blowing out the inflation rates. The same people who are inflating the currency are the people who say that we should give them more money and they should borrow more money in order to presumably remake the economy, quote unquote, better. Now, right now, there are 9 million open jobs in the United States. 9 million. There are only 3.5 million jobs gained during the last few months. What does that mean? It means people are staying home. They are not re-entering the workforce. Biden and team, they keep suggesting the reason for this is people are wary of COVID. Well, if they are, that's because you guys suck at PR. Yeah, the reality is that everyone has had a chance to get the vaccine now. And in most states, the vast majority of the elderly have already had the vaccine, which means once you've had a chance to get the vaccine, whether you get it, whether you don't get it, that one's on you. Okay, so it is not COVID hesitancy that is driving down employment rates. I was talking to a construction guy here yesterday in Florida, and he was telling me he literally cannot find laborers. People do not want to come to work. Simultaneously, he's telling me that the price on all goods has gone up tremendously. He can't get lumber. He's had to do roofing in different ways. He can't use foam for roofing because the materials are just not available. Because, again, production is not ramping up to meet the price inflation that is occurring. According to the Washington Post, Prices rose by 5% in May compared with a year ago, the largest increase since the Great Recession, continuing a steady climb in inflation, even as policymakers insist on staying the course. Price spikes often coincide with downturns. Officials from the White House and Federal Reserve have predicted that prices will climb over the coming months, especially compared with a year ago, when the economy was reeling from COVID pandemic shutdowns. However, the move adds new fuel to criticism from Republicans and at least one prominent liberal economist that too much government spending could wreak havoc and lead to an overheated economy. According to the Washington Post, it could take months before it's clear whether the current rise in inflation is temporary. But the steady climb is already weighing on numerous policy debates. Republicans push back hard on President Biden's proposal to spend $4 trillion on infrastructure and other proposals, complaining it amounted to an infusion of too much money at a time when prices on certain products were rising faster than wages. On certain products, on most products. GOP opposition has led the White House to rethink its spending strategy in recent weeks. The most recent inflation figures do not seem to have forced any course correction decisions inside the Biden administration or at the Fed. Both predict prices will continue to rise until supply chains and consumer demand recalibrate and the economy recovers. The Fed says it's not going to rush to raise interest rates. So what is this resulting in? It's resulting in businesses taking out cheap debt and then using it on hard assets. If you don't like businesses doing that, perhaps you should be protesting, you know, the governmental actors who are actually answerable to us. Right? As we'll see, people instead have this sort of simplistic view of economics in which you rip on corporations for doing exactly what corporations do. But the reality is you need to change the incentive structures if you wish for the corporations to change their order of business. Well, all of this bad spending policy is leading to some pretty dire economic warnings from Deutsche Bank, according to The Hill. As the world economy awakens from the 15-month slumber caused by the pandemic, Deutsche Bank has launched a series of research articles to spark debate and discussion about pressing post-pandemic economic issues on June 7th. Deutsche Bank issued its first report of the new series titled Inflation, the Defining Macro Story of this Decade. According to the report, quote, U.S. macro policy, macroeconomic policy, and indeed the very role of the government in the economy is undergoing its biggest shift in direction in 40 years. In turn, we are concerned it will bring about uncomfortable levels of inflation. Based on the latest inflation report from the United States, the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics points out that in April, the consumer price index for all urban consumers rose 0.8% on a seasonally adjusted basis, rising 4.2% over the last 12 months. Deutsche Bank notes the current fiscal stimulus is more comparable with that seen around World War II. Then U.S. deficits remained between 15 to 30% for 4 years. While there are many significant differences between the pandemic and World War II, we would note that annual inflation during that period was 8.4%, 14.6%, and 7.7% in 46, 47, and 48, after the economy normalized and pent-up demand was released. Apparently, there are a couple of big problems according to Deutsche Bank. One is the giant spending by Congress. They say monetary stimulus has been equally breathtaking. In numerical terms, the Fed's balance sheet has almost doubled during the pandemic to nearly $8 trillion. During the 2008 crisis, it only increased a little more than $1 trillion and then another $2 trillion in the subsequent 6 years. So basically, this is just the Federal Reserve creating fake money and then buying up bonds to inject it into the capital markets. The Deutsche Bank report says, we worry inflation will make a comeback. Few still remember how our societies and economies were threatened by high inflation 50 years ago. The most basic law of economics, the ones that have stood the test of time over the millennium, have not been suspended. An explosive growth in debt financed largely by central banks is likely to lead to higher inflation. Raising prices will touch everyone. The effects could be devastating, particularly for the most vulnerable in society. Okay, so that's Deutsche Bank warning about what is happening right now. And indeed, the United States is setting records for taxes, spending, and deficits through May. According to CNS News, federal taxes hit a record $2.6 trillion. Federal spending climbed to $4.6 trillion as October through May, resulting in a federal deficit of $2 trillion. That's just October through May, okay, which is just an astonishing increase in the federal deficit over the course of essentially half a year. That is wild stuff. Okay, now, the predictable result of all of this is not just inflation. It's also, as I say, economic stagnation, because when you remove money from the private sector and when you blow out the debt, and thus blow out the value of savings, what you end up doing is making it more difficult for businesses to do anything. Because, again, there are two problems. One is the inflation problem, and the second is what happens if the federal government, the Federal Reserve, continues to pump money into the banks by issuing overnight rates that are zero or below zero, which encourages banks to lend. And what if businesses look around and they go, wait a second, there's no demand. Why are we borrowing? Why exactly should I leverage up when the demand is not keeping up with my leverage? Why would I borrow money I'm not going to be able to pay back? It doesn't make any sense. And so we are seeing both of these things come to pass. There's a reason that Joe Biden's budget, his $6 trillion garbage budget that he's pushing, there's a reason that it forecasts a 2% rate of growth for the next 10 years every year. And that is high. It will end up being below 2% if Joe Biden gets his way in terms of this economy. Alrighty, coming up, a lot of people are really angry at corporations for profit seeking. You're directing your anger in the wrong direction. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems. Listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, U.S. Tax Shield can help you take back control. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Our team of tax attorneys can stop collections and get you protected. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the BBB, so call 800-466-9625. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-466-9625.
Poor Sam was a mess. Always itching, licking. His paws were soaking wet. He had bald spots on his back.
DINOVITE.com.
2 weeks after he started Dynavite, I started seeing great improvements. And today, 99% of his issues are non-existent.
Dynavite is nutrition.
Dynavite is the best thing you can do for your dog.
You won't believe how happy your dog will be.
I get my Dynavite from DINOVITE.com.
Hi, I'm Todd Simon, the fifth-generation family owner of Omaha Steaks. There's nothing I love more than putting a steak on the grill for Father's Day. With Dad's Day right around the corner, send him more than just a gift. Send him an experience with a get-out-and-grill assortment. This package includes 20 entrees he's guaranteed to love. My personal favorite is the 10-ounce butcher-cut New York strip. Plus, you'll get 4 New York strip burgers free with your order. Visit omahasteaks.com and type sizzle in the search bar. That's omahasteaks.com, keyword sizzle.
America's kids are returning to class, in school and at home. And this year, learning is especially tough for kids who already struggle with poverty, emotional trauma, and other barriers. But Communities in Schools is helping by putting caring adults in schools to connect with kids. And now, we're reaching beyond school walls, tutoring, mentoring, and counseling students, providing resources for at-home learning, doing whatever it takes to make sure all kids have the opportunity to learn and succeed. For more information, visit communitiesinschools.org.
Paid for by Bar Justice. Attention, have you or a loved one been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months? Zantac may be linked to these cancers: bladder, colorectal, esophageal, intestinal, kidney, liver, ovarian, pancreatic, stomach, testicular, and uterine. If you or a loved one have been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months, call now. Never stop taking medication without first consulting a physician. Call right now for a free consultation. Call 800-379-9550. 800-379-9550.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you: printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
Welcome back to the Ben Shapiro Show. So a lot of people are angry at corporations these days for seeking profit. Here's the thing. Your anger is in the wrong direction. Aim it at the government. I may not like it either. But the point is that unless you stop the Federal Reserve from pumping money into the system, corporations are going to take cheap loans, and then they're going to use those loans to arbitrage. They're going to take the loans at 0%, and then they're either going to lend it out at 3%, or they're going to go buy hard assets they think are going to appreciate at 3% or more over the course of the next 50 years. This is leading to massive price inflation, especially in real estate. So there's a big story that came out yesterday, and a lot of people right, left, and center are really mad about it. And this is where populists go wrong. Not because they are wrong in being angry about things, but because very often they're angry at the wrong people. It is not a corporation's fault if cheap loans are available, that they are taking the cheap loans and then going and buying real estate, any more than it would be their fault if cheap loans are available and they go and they take the cheap loans and then they buy stock. Okay, it is the fault. This all comes down to government policy. If you are willing to take up the risk of buying an asset at a higher price than the market would suggest, if you're willing to put that risk, that's your problem, so long as you don't get bailed out. So there are two things that people who are seriously troubled by what's going on economically ought to oppose with all of their heart and might. Okay, one is the inflationary policy of the Federal Reserve, the cheap debt that continues to be pumped into the economy, the government spending that continues to promote unemployment and keep people at home. That is one. And two, no bailouts. No bailouts. If a big corporation like BlackRock decides to take out a bunch of money from a bank, or they decide that they're going to sell their bonds to the Federal Reserve and they're going to get back all of this cheap money, and then they take that cheap money and they invest it in real estate, and then the real estate goes south, no bailouts. Okay, the moral hazard of TARP was just that. It created a massive moral hazard. And just like Occupy Wall Street was angry at the wrong people, they shouldn't have been occupying Wall Street. They should have been occupying K Street. They should have been over there in Washington, D.C., yelling at Congress. You remember the Occupy Wall Street movement that cropped up in 2009, 2010, in the aftermath of the great bubble bursting and the Great Recession. You'll recall people went over to Wall Street and started yelling at Wall Street. And it was like, why are you yelling at Wall Street? You should be yelling at Congress. It's Congress is answerable to you. Do you think yelling at BlackRock is going to make them stop pursuing fiscally smart decisions? It's not going to. The reason they're doing what they're doing is the incentive structure is all screwed up. Go yell at your congressperson. Go yell at the Federal Reserve. Go yell at Joe Biden. Those are the people you elected. Those are the people who are answerable to you, not the people who work at BlackRock. And yet people are misdirecting all of their energies. They're mad at corporations because, again, what populism does is it very often gets the diagnosis correct, but then the actual prescription is completely wrong. So the diagnosis is right, that you don't want corporations, giant corporations necessarily, coming in and buying up swaths of real estate and preventing first-time homeowners from being able to buy at market prices. You don't want them artificially driving up the price of real estate, but this is the point. It's not an artificial drive up of the price of real estate unless there's artificially cheap money being pushed into the system. The price of a house is what somebody is willing to pay for it. So you can say that BlackRock or these other big corporations are paying above market prices. Yes, they are paying above what the market price was before they were willing to pay for it. Now, what they are willing to pay for it is the new market price. If you don't like that market price, perhaps you should oppose the Federal Reserve's inflationary policy, which, again, that's a government agency. BlackRock is just taking out debt, and then they're spending it. And you should also have to explain, by the way, why it is that you think that the current homeowner shouldn't have the right to sell to BlackRock at an inflated price. That homeowner is, you know, part of the consenting bargain here. Hey, yes, there's an affected third party. That affected third party shouldn't be angry at BlackRock. That affected third party should be angry that the Fed keeps giving out cheap money. And yet people are directing their anger at all the wrong places. There's a piece in the Wall Street Journal about this that drove all sorts of ire the other day. That if you sell a house these days, the buyer might be a pension fund. Now, again, if the buyer is a pension fund, you know who owns stock in pension funds? A lot of people who are not actually big corporations. A lot of unions own stock in pension funds. A lot of retirees. A lot of your 401k is tied up in those pension funds. This is sort of like when people got very mad at the short sellers for no apparent reason with regard to GameStop. Like, oh, those short sellers, they're so bad. Look at them. They're leveraging up to short sell GameStop, and that's just terrible. Or maybe they are pricing in the risk of a market correction with regard to GameStop, right? That's literally what short sellers do. They are necessary to the market in order to properly price all of these assets. And so you can think that it's kind of hilarious what happened to the short sellers with regard to GameStop, but you can also recognize that short sellers are not malevolent forces in the financial universe any more than people who pump up the price of a stock are malevolent forces. As long as you bear the risk of your own decisions, it's on you what happens next. Hey, in any case, this Wall Street Journal article says a bidding war broke out this winter at a new subdivision north of Houston. The prize this time was the entire subdivision, not just a single suburban house, illustrating the rise of big investors as a potent new force in the U.S. housing market. D.R. Horton built 124 houses in Conroe, Texas, rented them out, and then put the whole community, Amber Pines at Foster's Ridge, on the block. A who's who's of investors and home rental firms flocked to the December sale. The winning $32 million bid came from an online property investing platform, Fundrise LLC, which manages more than $1 billion on behalf of about 150,000 individuals. The country's most prolific home builder booked roughly twice what it typically makes selling houses to the middle class, an encouraging debut in the business of selling entire neighborhoods to investors. We wouldn't expect every single family community we sell to sell at a 50% gross margin, said the builder's finance chief, Bill Wheat. From individuals with smartphones and a few $1,000s to pensions and private equity firms with billions, yield-chasing investors are snapping up single-family houses to rent out or flip. They're competing for houses with ordinary Americans who are armed with the cheapest mortgage financing ever and driving up home prices. Again, cheap fiscal policy means inflation. And whether it is people creating a bubble thanks to subprime mortgages in 2006, or whether it is the federal government pursuing inflationary monetary policy that drives down the price of loans and therefore drives up the price of things like real estate, centralized, bureaucratic money decision-making is generally not a good idea with regard to this stuff. And there are many people on the left who make fun of people who call for a gold standard. The reason for a gold standard is specifically so you can't do this crap. The reason for a gold standard is that you don't have people manipulating the worth of money. This is why when you wonder why so many members of the left are pissed off at Bitcoin. The reason that people are pissed off at Bitcoin is because Bitcoin is not controllable by a central authority, which is why people like me tend to be fans of Bitcoin, at least in theory. But people instead yesterday got super mad. If you pointed out that the ire was misplaced, that if you're mad at BlackRock, maybe you shouldn't be mad at BlackRock. Maybe you should actually be mad at the federal government. People are like, no, I want to be mad at BlackRock. Okay, and it's the same sort of ire that is driving all of the rage with regard to this new ProPublica report. So, amazingly enough, ProPublica, you know, they got a hold of a bunch of leaked IRS documents. Now, quick note. Kind of hilarious that the entire media put the kibosh on quote-unquote leaked documents from Hunter Biden's computer, right? Because they were leaked, is what we were told by the social media bros. Then, obviously leaked documents from the IRS, which is a crime, right? Obviously leaked documents were printed by ProPublica, and they've been blasted all over social media. So I don't think the Hunter Biden shutdown had anything to do with leaked documents. In any case, you know what those leaked documents showed? Pretty much nothing. What they showed is that wealth is not taxed the same way as income, which again makes sense because wealth that has never been cashed out is not in fact income. If you have a house and over the course of 10 years, your house doubles in value, you are not worth more money on a practical day-to-day level unless you sell the house or take out debt. Take a second mortgage or something. Right, the reality is that until you realize the value of the increased value, nothing has changed for you. It shouldn't be taxed the same way. How would you even do that? Okay, and yet people are super pissed. They don't understand this. They look at Jeff Bezos. They see that Jeff Bezos is really rich. And because they see Jeff Bezos is really rich, they're like, that guy should pay more taxes. And this sort of populist ire, it does span both sides. There's a populist movement on the right that embraces just this sort of stuff. And there's a populist movement on the left, the sort of Bernie Sanders progressives, who believe this sort of stuff. And they sort of horseshoe around. You'll see that there are populists on the right who do the same sort of class baiting that people on the left do. How is it that Jeff Bezos paid no tax in 2000? Well, because he didn't realize income in 2018. The value of his stock went up, but he didn't sell any of his stock. If the value of the stock went down, would you give him a tax refund? I don't think so. And yet still, this has been treated as a major story by the media. Again, that ProPublica story, as Daily Wire points out, found that billionaires often manage to employ tax loopholes to legally avoid paying income tax, except those aren't tax loopholes. Right? Those are just how taxes work. And the highest earning Americans overall pay the lion's share of U.S. income taxes, period. The bottom half of income earners pay less than 3% of all income taxes. Plus, people who are wealthy pay sales tax on their purchases. Income is not the same as wealth. The bottom line, though, is that the ire at corporations is ire that is being misplaced. It is being put in the wrong place. Now, there's ire at corporations that I think is sometimes being put in the right place. But again, here's the rule with corporations. You need to change the incentive structure. Corporations respond to incentives. Corporations are just legal mechanisms for developing profit. That is all corporations are. And for limiting liability. That's all they are. They respond to incentive structures. So if you don't like what corporations are doing, then you should change the incentive structure. I will say I am amused to watch all of these corporations who attempted to comply with the diktats of the woke left now being eaten by the woke left. So you may have noticed this month, because it is quote-unquote Pride Month, you may have noticed that every major corporation that you can think of has decided to change its logo to include rainbows. Right? And now they've all got rainbows, right? I've got Zillow on my phone, and Zillow has changed its logo to include rainbows. Wow. So all the houses are gay houses now or something. Okay, well, congratulations. And now, people who are cynical might say that they are doing this because they wish to appeal to the most radical base, and they feel that everybody on the right is just going to ignore it, which is why Nickelodeon is pushing transgender propaganda to children. Okay, but remember, the left will eat these people. AOC tweeted out this week's guilty pleasure, watching Representative Jayapal, Pramila Jayapal, go down the list to expose phony corporate pride rebrands with how much money they've given to fund anti-LGBT plus politicians. Remember, just because a company slapped on a rainbow doesn't mean they support the LGBT plus community. Yes, they're never going to stop, gang. You decided to kowtow to them, they're never going to stop. They're going to eat you alive. And you know what? You full well deserve it. You bought the ticket, now you take the ride. Again, you bore the risk, and now the risk is coming home to roost. And by the way, folks on the right, you should get active in just the same way. It turns out we have market power as well, and we are fully capable of using that market power to change the incentive structure for profit-seeking corporations. You're listening to The Ben Shapiro Show.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Jason Walker. Law enforcement agencies around the nation, of course, have experienced a wave of retirements and departures and are now struggling to recruit the next generation of officers.
And amid the national reckoning on policing, communities are questioning who should become a police officer today. Nationwide protests and calls for reforming and defunding the police, as well as the coronavirus pandemic, took their toll on officer morale. New research on nearly 200 law enforcement agencies conducted by the Washington-based Police Executive Research Forum shows the rate of retirement at some departments rose 45% compared with the previous year.
That is Bernie Bennett reporting. Saturday will mark day two of the G7 summit in England. First round Friday, drawing heavily on matters concerning the world economy and the pandemic. Also at townhall.com, the Fed's making big changes with big rigs.
The Department of Transportation says U.S. auto safety regulators will move to require or set standards for automatic emergency braking systems on new heavy trucks. The decision is a departure from Trump administration policies that allowed similar regulations proposed in 2015 to languish in the regulatory process after former President Donald Trump took office. The Department of Transportation, which includes the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, will also require rigorous testing standards for autonomous vehicles and set up a national database to document automated vehicle crashes. The department made the announcements when it released its spring regulatory agenda. Mike Gracia, Washington.
Illinois lifting all capacity limits on bars, restaurants, and other venues 15 months after the first stay-at-home order came down when the pandemic started. Businesses, though, can still have their own rules when it comes to capacity, mask, and social distancing. More on these stories at townhall.com.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest-rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
Indiana Republican Senator Todd Young praising Senate passage of the Endless Frontier Act to invest in critical high-tech research.
Senator Young says the bill is really all about rising to the challenge.
Focuses on defeating the Chinese Communist Party.
Senator Young told the Salem Radio Network Republicans and Democrats agreed the U.S. needed to make some targeted investments
in areas like artificial intelligence and quantum computing,
robotics and advanced manufacturing, all, Young says, with one main goal in mind.
Outcompete, out-innovate, and outgrow the Chinese Communist Party.
Senator Young co-authored the bill with Democrat Charles Schumer. Bob Agner reporting.
A company that took over power transmission and distribution in Puerto Rico this month, struggling now with outages. One of the worst, a large fire at a main substation, leaving 700,000 people in the dark. Breaking news and analysis, townhall.com. It will save time and make that trip to the airport a little easier.
American Airlines plans to invest in a company working on a small electric-powered aircraft that could someday carry people from urban centers to airports by taking off and landing vertically like a helicopter. American will pour $25 million into UK-based Vertical Aerospace, which plans to go public later in the year. American also has a pre-order for up to 250 vertical aircraft, the order valued at $1 billion. Rich Thomason reporting.
McDonald's, the latest company to be hit by a data breach after unauthorized activity on its network, exposed personal data of customers in Taiwan and South Korea. McDonald's says it quickly identified, then contained the incident. Investigation is underway. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Hi, I'm Liz Ponte. We at Lassen Canyon Nursery love to support the Shasta County Farm Bureau, Shasta District Fair, and the Haven Humane Society, just to name a few nonprofits that are dear to our hearts. We are proud to live in a community that celebrates unsung heroes who give back, and we invite you to give where your heart is to help build a stronger community together. Please remember to visit Lassen Canyon Nursery before you plant your strawberry patch this spring.
Yeah, we'll be counting stars.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Do you have a crazy schedule and can't seem to get to a class to qualify for your CCW, CCW renewal, or maybe learn to use that new firearm you just purchased? Consider a private class with NFI. Learn to shoot a handgun, rifle, shotgun, or even a BB gun. Classes are taught by an instructor that you choose on your dates and location. Give NFI a call at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and I'll see you at the range.
It's a bright new day. The sun is shining, the birds are singing, and there's never been a better day to try Mount Shasta spring water. Hi, I'm Bob the Drop. I come from a protected spring at the base of Mount Shasta. I'm bottled at the source. It doesn't get more cool and refreshing than that, and it's delivered right to your door. Yep, pure and simple. Naturally, the best. Start your bright new day by calling 1-800-922-6227 to order some of the best tasting water on the planet. Mount Shasta spring water.
I don't know how else to explain it.
Of course you don't. Yeah, it's just the Health and Human Services Secretary, Secretary Becerra, delivering a load of Bravo Sierra to Senator Lankford yesterday. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, we're going to do a deep dive into that one. Michael Pelka with you one more day. Wrapping up a week here for my buddy Chris Plant on the Chris Plant Show. It's a Friday, so don't be surprised if things are a little squishy today. If things are a little, I don't know, less locked down than they normally are. Not that they ever are when I'm on the radio. A bunch of stuff to get to today. We will start with Lankford. I have questions about the bipartisan deal. On infrastructure. Kamala's getting snippy with it, and we'll hear about that. Why is the CDC waiting a week to deal with an emergency? If something's an emergency, shouldn't we deal with it right away? Shouldn't it be like the first thing you do? This is an emergency. No, we're going to wait a week. ProPublica and the IRS teaming up to attempt to have really wealthy people dragged into the streets and beaten by angry mobs. That's kind of the farthest extension of that thinking, but I'll get to that. Chuck Schumer's a giant liar. Chuck Schumer is telling a huge lie, and I think I know why. We'll go over it. So much. And, of course, today's an important day, 35 years ago today. It was 35 years ago today that Ferris Bueller debuted, Ferris Bueller's Day Off. I just wanted to throw that out there because Fridays are days that movies open up. Yesterday we declared that this administration is, in fact, a cacistocracy. Cacistocracy is the word that I've used to describe the Biden administration. I don't think there's a better word out there. Some of you came up with some really terrific words, including malignant and clueless and devious and duplicitous and treasonous and dysfunctional and subversive. So many great words. But cacistocracy means a government by the worst possible individuals. It's from the Greek word kakis, meaning worst. And it's the opposite of aristocracy, from Aristotle, meant to mean government by the best or leadership by the best. So here we are with this cacistocracy. And really, they're dropping the ball on everything, pretty much, if you want to look at it. They did okay on the vaccine rollout. I have to give Biden credit. The vaccine rollout, they did not screw that up. But at the same time, the day Joe Biden raised his hand, swore on a stack of Bibles that he would uphold the Constitution and defend this nation against all enemies, foreign and domestic. Well, he hadn't really done all of that yet, has he? And then he later canceled the Keystone XL pipeline deal, which cost a bunch of people their jobs and caused energy prices to rise. The day that happened, the cacistocracy started. And it's relentless. It is absolutely relentless. Let's go back to this clip that we came in with. This clip of James Lankford talking to Secretary Becerra, a guy who a lot of people said, this is not the right man for Health and Human Services. He really doesn't have any background in this. And people went, you don't need any experience. It's government. The people at the top don't really do anything. So this back and forth was really interesting to me, and it's over something we talked about earlier in the week, and that is that the Biden budget, with the section from the Health and Human Services offices, removed the word mother. The word mother completely expunged from government documents, and I'm thinking they're going to do that all across the board. I'm thinking you're going to see that word just totally removed, completely eliminated, in a rather Orwellian-like fashion. And the word mother replaced with birthing person. And there's a couple of interesting twists in this discussion with Lankford, so I want to go over it and share it with you, because I think it's appropriate for us to point it out. And we need to pay attention, because how they use the language is very much focused on. They will look over every speech and every line and every bit of a bill and say, oh, we have to take out that because that could offend somebody. That's gender exclusive, or that's, who even knows what the hell they mean when they say gender. But here's how this went with Lankford and Becerra. And we'll stop and start it.
I also noticed you changed a term in your budget work. You shifted from using the term mother to birthing people rather than mother. Can you help me get a good definition of birthing people?
A simple question. I mean, you guys wrote it. It's your document. What do you mean when you say birthing people? This is like assault rifle. This is the assault rifle definition that we wrestled with a couple weeks ago, but I'll let the secretary try and explain.
Well, I'll check on the language there, but I think if we're talking about those who give birth, I think we're talking about, I don't know how else to explain it to you other than...
I was a little taken back when I just read it and saw it, that it's that the term mother was gone in spots and it was replaced with birthing people.
Why wouldn't it be replaced with birthing people? Because we don't look at gender anymore. We don't have sexes. We just have things people do. And Becerra actually says, I was referring to the work. You'll hear it. And I'm just thinking, okay, are then men going to be called not fathers anymore? We are the inseminators? Is that what that is? Is that all this is going to be? This is very dehumanizing. I'll let this go.
And I didn't know if this was a direction that you were going, if there were shifts, if there are regulatory changes that are happening related to that, or what the purpose of that is.
I think it's probably, and again, I'd have to go back and take a look at the language that was used in the budget, but I think it simply reflects the work that's being done.
The work that's being done. So it's no longer giving birth to a child as one of the most powerful, impressive, and beautiful miracles of our life. It is the work that's being done. Well, I guess that is why they call it labor, isn't it? This is insane. And these are the people in charge. Cacistocracy. There's more.
I definitely get that.
Yeah, Lankford says, I definitely get that. Which was kind of weird. I think he was just trying to move on to get the rest of his grilling of the HHS secretary completed. There is more.
I would only say the language is important always. We don't want to offend in our language. I get that.
Sometimes I want to offend. There are times I absolutely want to offend because I want you to pay attention to what I'm seeing because you're obviously unaware. So sometimes we have to get your attention. So I'll disagree with you, Senator Lankford. He's a very, very poised gentleman. Let's get back to it.
But would you at least admit calling a mom a birthing person could be offensive to some moms, that they don't want to get like a happy birthing person card in May? Or, I mean, can you at least admit that that term itself could be offensive to some moms?
Yeah, any normal thinking person, not just a birthing person, but any human being would know that if you take the word mother out and put in this cold, lifeless term, birthing person, now I guess humans are going to become some kind of brood mares that the Democrats are looking at as the incubators of future voters. Is that where this is going? He can't answer, of course, unless he's hoping that Big Greeting Card will come out with a whole line of birthing persons cards.
Senator, I'll go back and take a look at the terminology that was used, and I can get back to you. But again, if we're trying to be precise in the language that's used.
Mom's a pretty good word. That's worked for a while, and I think that's pretty precise as well.
Yeah, mom's a pretty darn good word. Mother is an excellent word. Ma even gets through. But just don't know where these people are coming from. And I cannot give them any support for this insanity. The rest of the world has to be laughing at us. And maybe right to our faces. Just looking at us. Did you hear what they're doing over in the U.S.? They've gotten rid of the word mother. And they're using birthing person. Well, then we obviously hope that they're going to change the word and get rid of men or father and put in inseminator or seed provider. Where is this going? You're welcome to join the conversation today. 888-630-9625. 888-630-9625. John is on the phone in Kensington, Maryland. Hello, John. Welcome to the program.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
I'm just wondering if a woman who is wanting to have an abortion, should she be called an aborting person?
Well, interesting. An aborting person, maybe, but then you just can't abort the child by yourself, can you? I mean, there may be a DIY kit coming out soon, and then that would be correctly identified as an aborting person. Very interesting. Good question. You had something else there?
Oh, yes. As you know, ever since Roe versus Wade, abortion has always been identified as a woman's issue, you know, women's right, you know, a woman's right to have an abortion, you know, women's marches for abortion and that sort of thing. So that would very much, I think, change how the left would want the word abortion and aborting person to be used if that was to be done. Because they want to associate women with abortion.
Yeah, it's interesting how selective this is. My mother would have said this was convenient. You're conveniently accepting the term when it meets your agenda. And that truly is what's going on here. Just watch the language. The language tells us a lot about what people are up to. And in this case, they're up to no good. They're up to absolutely depersonalizing humans. They're taking us and making us just a cog in the giant wheel. The birthing persons who will be delivering future voters. That's where this is going. And there's more about future voters. I've got something dumb happening in Illinois. I know that surprises all of you. We'll get to that. Of course, there are more insane stories today. And on the eve of Germany has announced they've come out with an app for your phone that has a digital vaccine passport on it. Gee, who would have thought that Germany would be the first EU country to come out with something that they could, you know, give to people that would be mandatory for them to have in order to move about the country that would identify who they are? Not like it would be sewn onto their clothing or anything, but it would be committed to their digital devices, which is kind of like a piece of clothing to people, isn't it? We'll get into this because it extends already back here to the U.S. It's already had its effect on a high school in New Hampshire. So much to get to today, including your calls and discussions. And there is fun on a Friday. I promise you, there is fun out there. Mike Opelka in for Chris Plant. Join me, 888-630-9625. 888-630-9625, The Chris Plant Show.
You're listening to The Chris Plant Show.
Broken bricks, falling fences, damaged doors, Gorilla Glue, of course. Gorilla Glue is incredibly strong, 100% waterproof, and bonds virtually everything. Gorilla Glue, for the toughest jobs on planet Earth.
With the value of the U.S. dollar continuing to slump due to the unprecedented money printing, it's never been more important to protect your savings and retirement from inflation. A lot of hard-working Americans, just like you and me, are turning to a proven method to protect what we work so hard to earn. Real gold. You can have real gold delivered privately and securely to your home, or have real gold in your IRA or 401k by calling the Oxford Gold Group at 833-995-GOLD. The Oxford Gold Group will teach you everything you want to know about owning real gold. It's a lot easier than you think. Call the Oxford Gold Group now at 833-995-GOLD to get your free precious metals investment guide. Talk to Oxford Gold about getting real gold delivered to your home, or about having real gold placed in your IRA or 401k. Call them now at 833-995-GOLD. So what are you waiting for? Get gold you can hold from the Oxford Gold Group, 833-995-GOLD.
Today on Hey Culligan, better water, better food. Here's Gary in Chicago.
Hey Culligan, my water smells like a swimming pool and my hot dog tastes like one.
Sounds like your water comes with a little chlorine.
Chlorine?
You know, you could get a great for cooking water, delicious for drinking water Culligan reverse osmosis system.
Yeah, I'll take one of those and 2-3 more hot dogs.
No can do on the dogs, Gary, but one Culligan reverse osmosis system already on the way. Let us help you out with a free in-home water test with a local Culligan water expert at Culligan.com.
Want the truth on why I wake up looking so darn awesome? I take care of my skin. Not just my face, but more intimate skin. And when you've got incontinence, you sure need to.
Tena Intimates pads lock liquid in and are now 100% breathable to care for your intimate skin, day or night. Tena Intimates are now endorsed by the Skin Health Alliance. Visit TenaSample.com for your free sample. Kind to skin. Protect like Tena.
According to the National Institutes of Health, 30% of hospital admissions in older adults are drug-related, like taking meds at the wrong time. Hero Health simplifies medication management. The smart device stores up to 90 days' worth of up to 10 different pills. It dispenses them at the push of a button. Try Hero risk-free for 30 days and get free contactless delivery. Just call 800-420-7550. That's 800-420-7550. 800-420-7550. Hero. Medication managed.
Hey DQ fans, the Girl Scout Thin Mints Blizzard is here. The Girl Scout cookies you love meet Cool Mint and world-famous soft serve, blended together in this chocolatey, minty masterpiece. Grab it today, only at your DQ. Happy tastes good.
Are you over 50? Would you like to get up to 33% more income in retirement? Then call now for this free book, Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers, from a leading financial firm on maximizing your income in retirement. That's right, free. This free book reveals little-known truths about annuities in simple-to-understand terms that will help you make the right choices before buying an annuity. And it's free. As a bonus, we'll also throw in a free annuity rate report summarizing the rates and benefits from financially strong insurers.
Call 800-715-9880.
That's right. Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers and Annuity Rate Report. Both absolutely free for calling today.
Call 800-715-9880. That's 800-715-9880.
Sponsored by Annuity General. Producers have the appropriate licenses for the products they offer. Increased income is possible using strategies suited to your goals and may require buying multiple annuities and holding them full term.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
America's kids are returning to class, in school and at home. And this year, learning is especially tough for kids who already struggle with poverty, emotional trauma, and other barriers. But Communities in Schools is helping by putting caring adults in schools to connect with kids. And now, we're reaching beyond school walls, tutoring, mentoring, and counseling students, providing resources for at-home learning, doing whatever it takes to make sure all kids have the opportunity to learn and succeed. For more information, visit communitiesinschools.org.
It is the Chris Plant Show on a Friday. Mike Opelka is sitting in for Chris. Should be back Monday. And I'm just having fun. And we opened up talking about Senator Lankford from Oklahoma talking with the Health and Human Services Secretary. And the guy is just totally incapable already. And we're just a couple of months into this administration. We were talking about the fact that they've replaced the word mother with birthing person. And many of you have chimed in already. First up is Joe from Fayetteville, Arkansas. Hello, Joe. Welcome to the Chris Plant Show.
Thank you. Thank you. I think the reason the leftists want to replace mother with birthing person is that being a mother implies that you're going to raise the child and educate the child and acculturate the child and, in general, be a big influence on the development of the child. And the leftists want the women to get out of the way of that, and they just want the women to give birth, and then the state will take over the raising of the child and the nurturing of the child and the acculturating of the child and the indoctrination
Joe, that will never happen. Nobody on the left has ever gone on MSNBC and said something like that.
Oh, really?
Have they?
I think you're funny, Mayor. I think that's been their program for a long time, and that's what they're working on.
Yeah, I know. I think we'll have the clip here in just a couple of minutes. You're absolutely spot on right. Melissa Harris Perry was the name I was remembering for that. Let's see here. I want to speak with Ernesto, please, in Greenbelt, Maryland. Hello, Ernesto. Welcome to Chris Plant Show.
Hello, Mike. You're doing a great job, man.
Thank you, brother.
I miss Chris, but you're doing a good job. My thing is with the name of Colombi, instead of a father, I'm a person maker.
No, see, you can't claim that, Ernesto, because you're just half the equation. Yes, you do carry the determining factor as to whether or not the baby will be a male or a female, if I may still say that. But you're not a person maker. You're just the inseminator. You're only 50%. You're a 50% partner in this. I'm sorry to break that to you. But, you know, this is the memo we got from the party. The birthing person will be carrying the seed created by the inseminator and the birthing person's egg. And then, you know, at the appropriate time, it will be turned over to the state to be indoctrinated and delivered to the rest of the cause, whether it be working or helping out with more indoctrinations. Excellent attempt, but I have to tell you, it's not right. If you didn't believe that Melissa Harris Perry and MSNBC were actually pushing this agenda, here's how it went down.
We've always had kind of a private notion of children. Your kid is yours and totally your responsibility. We haven't had a very collective notion of these are our children. So part of it is we have to break through our kind of private idea that kids belong to their parents or kids belong to their families and recognize that kids belong to whole communities.
Yeah. And by yeah, I mean no. These people are crazy. She's not on MSNBC anymore, and it's not for that. She was just a bad broadcaster. There are plenty of them there that still believe that. We'll dive into more of this just around the corner. Mike Opelka in for Chris Plant on The Chris Plant Show.
This is The Chris Plant Show.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
This is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home, too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
Hi, my name's Nick Gardner. I have a show here on KCNR, Sunday mornings from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. every other Sunday. The name of my show is Poke the Hornet's Nest.
There's no mountain I can't climb. There's no tower too high. No plane that I can't learn how to fly. What do I gotta do to get through to you to show you there ain't nothing I can't take this chainsaw through?
I'm going to concentrate on local politics mainly, but we'll talk about national politics also. You'll get the view of the common citizen here in Redding, California. And remember, today is the first day of the rest of your life. Maybe it's a good time for a new perspective about what's been going on in our town, in our state, in our nation. I hope you tune in and hear the other side of the news.
You can learn safety and elder abuse prevention strategies with another free event presented by Shining Care. The Senior Safety It Takes a Community Symposium is coming June 17th, 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. in the Wind River Resort Event Room. Lunch will be provided during a live simulcast featuring world-renowned keynote speaker Paul Greenwood sharing his expertise and tips to prevent elder abuse in our community. There'll be a Q&A session plus many resource exhibits all during the Senior Safety It Takes a Community Symposium June 17th in the Wind River Resort Event Room. See more at ShiningCare.org.
Have you been putting off getting your colonoscopy due to COVID restrictions? Well, there's no better time than now. Due to the COVID-19 pandemic, colorectal cancer screenings have declined by 86%, and as a result, up to 10,000 more deaths are projected over the next decade. With early detection, colon cancer has a 90% survival rate, and it may even be preventable with a colonoscopy. At Redding Endoscopy Center, our number one priority is the health and safety of our patients, and our center has always been committed to maintaining strict infection control and prevention protocols. Schedule your colonoscopy today by calling us at 530-246-7000 or visiting readingendoscopy.com. Visit readingendoscopy.com.
A Moment in History by KCNR and historian Dottie Smith. Moroville was an early gold mining settlement established in 1849 beside French Gulch Creek, approximately 1.5 miles west of French Gulch. It was named for H.W. Morrow, who owned a ranch on the creek. Soon the miners were finding too much gold and moved the settlement eastward beside Clear Creek in 1854 because mining was being carried out on the streets and under the houses. A Moment in History by KCNR and historian Dottie Smith. To find out more about Dottie Smith, go to the Shasta Historical Society.
It's a Friday on the Chris Plant Show. Mike Opelka sitting in for my buddy Chris Plant. And so much audio to get to, so many topics to get to. Texas says, don't worry about the wall, Mr. President. We'll build our own. It's a DIY job down here. We'll get into some of that. The CDC emergency meeting, which can't be that big of an emergency if they're going to wait a week. But we started talking about language and the Health and Human Services Secretary, Becerra, who cannot actually explain the madness behind the birthing persons thing. And boy, did the phones ignite. And so many of you are jumping in here. Mike in Wilmington, North Carolina is on the phone. Mike, welcome to the Chris Plant Show.
Hey, Mike, how are you doing? You're doing a great job.
Thank you, brother. What's on your
hey,
mind?
Well, you know, when you started talking about birthing person, and I heard in the change of the language, I'm like, why are they doing that? It, you know, why would they do that? And it struck me, you know, I have heard on many occasions the LGBT community refer to traditional families between mom and dads as breeders. And when I heard that, I remember when I heard that the first time an LGBT person said, I was like, God, that is offensive. And I realized, you know, this is our government implementing the LGBT community's agenda, and really an attack on the traditional family is what it is. And, you know, Mike, yesterday as I heard your callers call in words that about, you know, describing the administration, one caller used the term malignant, and that really struck me. And, you know, and that's, to me, that's exactly what this is. They're attacking the fabric of our country. They're attacking the traditional family one cell at a time, working to break it down because they know if they can break it down, and as one of your clips said, hey, they're not our children. This it's a community's job. It's the government's job to raise them. That's exactly what this speaks to. And it is scary. It is scary.
Mike, you're so right. And what they're doing here is when they say things like that, that old Melissa Harris Perry clip saying that children are all of ours. And, it, you know, we used to be able to say, okay, then you help pay for them. Well, now they're saying, okay, we will. We're going to give you. Look at the child care benefit that's in the latest giveaway bill that was passed out. And by the way, we're going to talk about the billions, hundreds of billions of dollars that were pilfered from this country by Chinese gangs and Nigerian gangs because the government was just incapable of policing the handouts that we were giving away during COVID. But yeah, there is an effort to tear us down in every corner. And it's kind of like social whack-a-mole. They're coming after everything that was the foundation of this country and trying to destroy us from within. And we have to stand up and go, no, we're not going to let the insanity abound here. Excellent point. Yeah, I've heard some of my gay friends refer to heterosexual people as breeders, and we laughed it off, and maybe we shouldn't have. Appreciate you, Mike. Deborah is calling from Frederick, Maryland. Hello, Deborah. Welcome to the Chris Plant Show. What's on your mind?
Hi, good morning. Thank you for taking my call. So let a female chime in, please, on this birthing person's topic. So I am a mom, but I am not a birthing person. My son is adopted. So what happens to those of us out there that not birth somebody or his father who did not inseminate this nice young man now? What happens to us? We lose our identity? Do we lose, am I now a non-entity? It's very, very frustrating, and it is crazy. And this whole sense of belonging, I'm like, everybody wants to, it's not an ownership thing. Everybody wants to belong to something, to a family, to a culture, to a religious group. We thrive on belonging and senses of relationship. And so there are so many pieces of this that have me just very distressed.
Well, first of all, the term for people like you and your husband should be lottery winners or angels. You know, really. And especially in the minds of the child who won that lottery to get a mom and dad. That's just fantastic. So congratulations to you guys. But you get it. You understand what's going on here. This is an attempt to change us. And the us that I'm talking about is the us that actually made this country just amazing. The people that came here as families, the people that built families here, the people whose families fought and died for this country. And it was moms and dads and kids. And what are we going to call the kids now? We're not going to be allowed to call them by their gender, because if you listen to half of Hollywood, no one's really going to be allowed to announce. We're going to have to move gender reveal parties to their 18th birthday when they are of their majority and they can then officially declare. But until such time, they're going to be some sort of very old zygote, or something's going to go on here. Deborah, I so appreciate you bringing that up, and God bless you and your husband and that kid you adopted. I hope you have a great family together. Thank you so much. Let's go back to Wilmington, North Carolina. Liz has an interesting line here on the call screener, something about the language. Hi, Liz. Welcome to the program.
Hi, thank you. Originally I was going to talk about the language, which you were talking about, which we all know is crazy. One of the things that came to my mind was, do you remember that line in Ghostbusters where they are talking about leaving the university system and having to go into the private sector and actually have to produce results? Do you remember that at all?
Yes, I do. I was trying to remember because I happen to be a huge fan of the original Ghostbusters, not the second one and not the the rebirth with female. I can't say females. I'm sorry. I do remember. We're going to have to leave the university and actually produce results. That is what's happening, isn't it?
What's reminding me, because this week I had to take my daughter to get her driving permit. And so I made an appointment at the driver's license bureau. And so we get there and we're like maybe 5-10 minutes early for our appointment. Well, they're not even going to talk to us or see us or open the door because of ridiculous COVID restrictions for 1 hour. So I challenged them. I'm like, why did I make an appointment? What's the point of making an appointment? So, I mean, obviously it got tense, it got heated and all that. Because it's ridiculous. And that's the thing. It's like we have to challenge these people. I'm kind of continuing on with the conversation that you were just having. We know this is insane. And I don't think we need to be ashamed that we understand that we're discerning enough to understand that this is insane. And so you don't jump into make-believe world with these insane people. You come from a place or a posture of understanding, I am sane. I understand what they're trying to do. They're real, like callers are saying, they're trying to dismantle the traditional family. And really they're trying to attack Christian values. They're trying to eliminate God from the equation. They're trying to eliminate the fact that we are made in God's image from the equation.
What it feels like they're doing, Liz, to me, and I've said this before, I think both on this radio program and on others where I've appeared, is the left's idea is to replace God with government, to replace individual responsibility with dependency. And that is the key here. That is the absolute key. And if we allow it to happen, it's on us. And that's our job. And that's why I'm so heartened to see so many people in say, Virginia are getting involved in school boards. So many people in Florida and other parts of the country are actually stepping in and running for school board positions and saying, okay, we're not going to have 17 different genders. We're not going to have critical race theory. We're not going to, and they're standing up and bringing back some common sense. But until we tell the crazy people, no, they're just going to keep thinking, Well, they're right then. And we have to be the adults in the room to the crazy adults who are also in the room. Liz, before we go, Michael Piercy found the clip. So to understand what Liz was referencing, this is that moment from Ghostbusters.
Personally, I like the university. They gave us money and facilities. We didn't have to produce anything. You've never been out of college. You don't know what it's like out there. I've worked in the private sector. They expect results.
Yeah, and that's what we had with the past administration, a results-based administration. Now we have this cacistocracy, which doesn't really care about results. They only care about keeping their jobs and expanding the funding. And now we're starting to see the problems with the expansion of the funding as we are seeing the massive inflation start. There's a big warning from Deutsche Bank. Deutsche Bank gave America a big warning. We'll get into that, too. But thank you, Liz. Appreciate you for being there. Let's check in with Russ in Alexandria, Virginia. Hello, Russ. Welcome to the Chris Plant Show.
Thanks so much. I appreciate you taking the call, Mike. Yeah, you know, all of the questions about why are interesting, but, you know, the ultimate, at some point, you know, if you are looking for an example of American exceptionalism, this is it. Because we have so many people now whose lives are so good. Everybody else on the planet is trying to get a roof over their head and put something in their mouth. We have people sitting around thinking about these problems. They are having to come up the ladder of life five rungs to find something this ridiculous to whine about. It is amazing. It's not a question of why they're doing it. It's a question they can do it. They have nothing else in their lives to worry about. It's absolutely amazing. And if you know, and when the government starts really getting going good on things like UBI and paying people to sit home, what else do you think they're going to come up with? It's frightening. It is absolutely frightening.
Yeah, and no. That's what we have to start saying, basta, because that's the language they'll understand, because Spanish seems to be the language that is creeping into the country at 200,000 people a month at this point. Basta. Enough. We've had enough. Excellent point, sir. Excellent point. Marco in Springfield, Missouri. Marco, you're saying you might disagree with my declaration of cacistocracy for this Biden administration?
Well, I think it's a great term, and I refer to Kamala Harris as Cackala Harris, so that actually fits pretty well. But I think that the best term for this administration is idiocracy, because you'd have to be an idiot to come up with this stuff. To be a Sarah was a joke as a congressman, as an attorney in California, the worst person for the job, and now he's HHS. You'd have to be an idiot to pick him on top of the rest of the people that he has picked. But it's pretty scary that they're actually going to pay some bureaucrat to go in and document and remove the word mom and dad and replace it with birthing people and an inseminator. It's insane.
Well, we don't know if they're going to put inseminator in there. That was my speculation. That might be the kind of madness that is foisted upon us next. But you're right. And Becerra is, as you said, he was an incompetent guy who got a job because he checked a box in terms of Latino, and he probably was a friend to somebody in the California Democratic Party who helped push someone over the line in an election. And these are favors. I understand this because I grew up in Chicago, and favors were everything. But we're also seeing that, and I have to double-check this. I'll try and look it up during the break. I mentioned the story that there is a huge chunk, hundreds of billions of dollars, that was meant to go into unemployment programs during the last big spending bill we put out. Hundreds of billions of dollars. And apparently, a lot of that went to gangs, criminal gangs operating in China and Nigeria, and maybe even in Mexico, but $400+ billion. And I have relatives whose jobs went away during the pandemic because of the lockdowns that forced companies to shut down, who couldn't get on unemployment for months. And to hear that a Nigerian scammer got God knows how many billions of our tax dollars is infuriating to me. And I've heard the guy who's in charge of that program came from Washington State, where they had a similar problem with their own welfare program. So everybody floats to the top. Well, you know what else floats, too. I'm stepping aside for a quick break. Michael Pelka in for Chris Plant on The Chris Plant Show. It's a Friday, and we have a lot to get to. We'll try and get to all of it just around the corner.
This is The Chris Plant Show.
I struggled with symptoms like frequent gas and stomach pain for years.
I was bloated all the time with daily diarrhea.
At first, I thought it was what I was eating.
I kept thinking it was stomach issues.
So I did my research and talked to my doctor, and we finally uncovered the truth.
It was actually EPI. Exocrine pancreatic insufficiency, or EPI, is a condition where your pancreas is unable to help break down your food.
It can lead to symptoms like diarrhea, gas, bloating, stomach pain, unexplained weight loss, and oily stools.
And EPI symptoms can be confused with those of other common digestive conditions, like irritable bowel syndrome, Crohn's, and celiac disease.
So getting to the right diagnosis meant being more open with my doctor about the severity of my symptoms and how often they were happening.
But there's good news. EPI is manageable, so don't wait any longer. Use the symptom checker at identifyepi.com and schedule a visit or call with your doctor to ask,
Could I have EPI? Sponsored by AbbVie.
Today on Hey Culligan, buy to save. Here's a text from Devin in Denver. Hey Culligan, I'd love a water softener, but I don't want to pay for it. Devin, I can't help you there, but a Culligan high efficiency softener can help you save oodles on energy and detergent, so the savings can be even greater than the cost. And I'm getting a mind-blown emoji followed by, yes please. Devin, the savings are already on the way. Let us help you out with a free in-home water test with the local Culligan water expert at Culligan.com.
Are you the parent of a 2 to 7 year old? Listen closely for an exciting free radio offer. By now, you've probably heard of ABC Mouse, the Parents' Choice Award-winning online learning program that's actually changing the lives of early learners everywhere.
ABC Mouse is like a little one-on-one teacher. It has helped her so much.
Right now, we're offering a special radio promo to try it free for a month, but you have to go to abcmouse.com/radio to claim your free month. That's abcmouse.com/radio.
Sponsored by Age of Learning.
In 2007, Marine First Lieutenant Travis Manning was killed in Iraq after saving his wounded teammates. Travis's legacy lives on through the 5 words he spoke before leaving for his final deployment. If not me, then who? Words that today fuel the spirit of Travis Manning Foundation. Words that live in veterans, families of the fallen, and inspired civilians who go out of their way to find a way. Who help others with the help of others. Who bounce back after each setback, who make good on good intentions. Through Travis Manion Foundation, if not me, then who, are words that can live in you too. Show the world what your character is made of, because character is invisible until it's not. Find out how you can strengthen the character of your community alongside empowered veterans, families of the fallen, and inspired civilians at TravisManion.org. That's TravisManion.org.
America's kids are returning to class, in school and at home. And this year, learning is especially tough for kids who already struggle with poverty, emotional trauma, and other barriers. But Communities in Schools is helping by putting caring adults in schools to connect with kids. And now, we're reaching beyond school walls, tutoring, mentoring, and counseling students, providing resources for at-home learning, doing whatever it takes to make sure all kids have the opportunity to learn and succeed. For more information, visit communitiesinschools.org.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
Hi, I'm Todd Simon, the fifth-generation family owner of Omaha Steaks. There's nothing I love more than putting a steak on the grill for Father's Day. With Dad's Day right around the corner, send him more than just a gift. Send him an experience with a get-out-and-grill assortment. This package includes 20 entrees he's guaranteed to love. My personal favorite is the 10-ounce butcher cut New York strip. Plus, you'll get 4 New York strip burgers free with your order. Visit omahasteaks.com and type sizzle in the search bar. That's omahasteaks.com, keyword sizzle.
Paid for by Bar Justice.
Attention. Have you or a loved one been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months? Zantac may be linked to these cancers. Bladder, colorectal, esophageal, intestinal, kidney, liver, ovarian, pancreatic, stomach, testicular, and uterine. If you or a loved one have been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months, call now. Never stop taking medication without first consulting a physician. Call right now for a free consultation. Call 800-379-9550. 800-379-9550.
It is the Chris Plant Show, and it is a Friday, and Mike Opelka is my name. I've been here all week with the support of Michael Piercy and Victor and you. You, the loyal Chris Plant audience, doing your part. The vast and unpaid resource department, as I like to call you. And so many of you joined the conversation at 888-630-9625. It's not all things that get me angry in the news. I saw something yesterday that is worthy of giving a little spotlight to. And it actually happened in a school. I know I'm going to tear into a school in New Hampshire in just a little bit over something they did that's almost as dumb as removing the word mother from government documents. But this story is a positive story. It's a North Carolina principal of a high school who decided the proper way to say farewell to the graduating seniors was not with a speech, but with a song. And I'll just give you a little bit of it because it's amazing. And it kind of makes me feel like, okay, it's not all awful out there. This was Principal Gauss, I think is how he pronounces his name, and his message to his students.
And
that's just fantastic. That's a really hard song to sing as well. What a great memory those kids will have. So it's not all bad. It's not all horrible. It's not all irritating. There are some bright spots out there. A couple of you wanted to chime in before we get done with this hour. Let's see who we can get to on the phones. Robert in Waldorf, Maryland. Robert, welcome to the Chris Plant Show. Hey, Robert.
How are you?
Good, sir. Go on. Carry on, sir.
I don't understand why we would even accept their premise. I mean, we know that there's not 50 genders. There's only two. So why even bother with accepting the insanity that these people are throwing out here? You can't legislate that. You can't legislate that there's 50 genders. There's only two. You can't legislate math skills, and you can't legislate work ethics. So all the talking they do, all we're doing is entertaining retards. Let's call these people what they are. These people are insane. Why would you even entertain this? It just doesn't make sense to me. This is almost like putting Dan Bongino on at noon, giving him a show on Fox News.
Robert, thank you for stopping by. I appreciate your everybody's got a flavor they enjoy. But I do agree that it's madness to get rid of the name mother and replace it with birthing person. Absolutely crazy. Rich on the Beltway. Hello, sir. Welcome to the Chris Plant Show. You're the last call of the hour. What's up? Oh, he dropped. He's gone. Well, that's okay. We have plenty of more topics to grill up next hour. And I have one that's really infuriating me. It's Chuck Schumer lying through his teeth. And maybe he was misled. Maybe he was misinformed or misdirected or something. We'll get into that also, that high school story I told you out of New Hampshire. The CDC says they have an emergency, but it's going to take them a week to get to it, which begs the question, why? Why are you waiting a week if it's an emergency? And Jeffrey Toobin's back. We have to talk about this because I think I know why he's back on CNN. We'll dive into it. Mike Opelka in for Chris Plant on the Chris Plant Show.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.